ജയം വിഷ്ണുപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിവ്രാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തര ശതശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ അഭയചരണ അരവിന്ദ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത ഗോസ്വാമി മഹാരാഷ്ട്രയില പ്രഭുപാദിക്ക് ജയം. നിത്യനില പ്രവിഷ്ട വിഷ്ണുപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിവ്രാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തര ശതശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ ഭക്തസിദ്ധാന്ത സരസ്വതി മഹാരാജ് ശീല പ്രഭുപാദിക്ക് അനന്തകോടി വൈഷ്ണവ വൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് നാമാചാര്യ ശീല ഹരിദാസ് ഠാക്കൂർക്ക് പ്രേം സഹോ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യ പ്രഭു നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീ അദ്വൈത ഗദാധാര ശ്രീവാസാദി ഗൌരഭക്തവൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് ശ്രീ ശ്രീ രാധാകൃഷ്ണ ഗോപ ഗോപിനാഥ ശ്യാമകുണ്ട രാധാ കുണ്ടഗിരി ഗോവർദ്ധാനിക്ക് വൃന്ദാവൻ ധാമിക്ക് മായാപൂർ ധാമിക്ക് മധുരപരിധാമിക്ക് ജഗന്നാഥ്പുരിധാമിക്ക് ദ്വാരകാപരിധാമിക്ക് ഗംഗമായിക്ക് യമുനാമായിക്ക് തുളസീദേവിക്ക് ഭക്തിദേവിക്ക് സാമവേദ ഭക്തവൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് ഗൗർ പ്രേമനന്ദി ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ടു ദി അസംബ്ലിഡ് ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ടു ദി അസംബ്ലിഡ് ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ടു ദി അസംബ്ലിഡ് ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ടു ശ്രീ ഗുരു ആൻഡ് ശ്രീ ഗൗരംഗ ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ടു ശീല പ്രഭുപാദ് നമോ വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസ്ഥായ ഭൂതലേ ശ്രീമതി ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമിനിധി നാമിനി നമസ്തേ സരസ്വതി ദേവി ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരണി നിർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യദേശകാരിണി. ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ ഓം പാർത്ഥായ പ്രതിബോധിതാം ഭഗവതാം നാരായണേന സ്വയം വ്യാസേന ഗ്രഥിതാം പുരാണമുനിനാം മധ്യേ മഹാഭാരതം അദ്വൈതാമൃതവർഷിണി ഭഗവതി അഷ്ടാദശാധ്യായിനി അംബ ത്വാമനുസന്ധദാമി ഭഗവത്ഗീതേ ഭവദ്വേഷിണി. നമോസ്തു തേ വ്യാസ വിശാല ബുദ്ധേ പുല്ലാരവിന്ദായത പത്രനേത്ര യേന ത്വയാ ഭാരത തൈലപൂർണ പ്രജ്വാലിതോ ജ്ഞാനമയ പ്രദീപ പ്രപന്ന പാരിജാതായ തോത്രവേത്രൈകബാണയേ ജ്ഞാനമുദ്രായ കൃഷ്ണായ ഗീതാമൃതദുഹേ നമഃ. സർവോപനിഷദോ ഗാവോ ദുഗ്ധാ ഗോപാലനന്ദന പാർത്ഥോ വത്സ സുധീർഭോക്ത ദുഗ്ധം ഗീതാമൃതം മഹത്. വസുദേവ സുതം ദേവം കംസച്ചാനൂരമർദനം ദേവകീ പരമാനന്ദം കൃഷ്ണം വന്ദേ ജഗദ്ഗുരും. ഭീഷ്മദ്രോണതടാ ജയദ്രഥജല ഗാന്ധാര നീലോൽപല ശല്യഗ്രാഹവതീ കൃപേണ വഹനീ കർണേന വേലാകുല അശ്വത്ഥാമാ വികർണ ഘോരമകരാ ദുര്യോധനാവർത്തിനി സോത്തീർണ ഖലു പാണ്ഡവൈരണനദീ കൈവർത്തക കേശവ പാരാശര്യവജസ്സരോജമലം ഗീതാർത്ഥഗന്ധോൽക്കടം നാനാഖ്യാനക കേസരം ഹരികഥാ സംബോധനാബോധിതം ലോകൈ സജ്ജനഷൽപദൈരഹരഹപ്പേബീയമാനം മുദ ഭൂയാത് ഭാരത കുങ്കജക്കലിമല പ്രധ്വംസിന ശ്രേയസേ. മൂകം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കും ലംഘയതേ ഗിരിം യൽകൃപാതമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം. യം ബ്രഹ്മാ വരുണേന്ദ്രരുദ്രമരുദസ്വന്വന്തി ദിവ്യൈസ്തവൈർ വേദൈ സാംഗപദൈ ക്രമോപനിഷദൈർഗായന്തി യം സമഗാഃ ധ്യാനാവസ്ഥിത തദ്ഗതേന മനസാ പശ്യന്തി യം യോഗിനോ യസ്യാന്തം ന വിദുസുരാസുരഗണൈ ദേവായ തസ്മൈ നമഃ. സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദ നാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ. In the 11th chapter, the last verse, Krishna said, Mal karma krita mal paramo mal bhakta sanga varjitaha nirvaira sarva bhuteshu yasamami yadi pandava. That was it said that we talked about that. What is mal karma, mat para, mal bhakta sanga varjita, Nurvaira Sarvabhudeshu. Yes, he comes back to me, Krishna says, right? Then Arjuna raised this question that from second chapter right up to the end of 10th chapter, most of the things spoken is centered around Brahman realization, Brahma Upasana. And then Krishna spoke about the Upasana with Yogam, Aishwaryam, Sattvagunam. With that Upadhi, worship of Krishna in the Sagunam. So when this was spoken, and then after that, that was in the 9th chapter, and then in the 11th chapter, Krishna has shown the universal form to Arjuna, right? So Arjuna's question comes now. Like anybody else, Arjuna has got doubts, and he says that among these two categories, what he says here, evam satatayuktaye bhaktastum paryupasade ye chapi aksharam avyaktam tesham ke yogavittama. Out of the two categories, who is the best? Which are the categories? The first one, he says, evam satatayuktaye bhaktastum paryupasade, one who is living in this world, doing everything, but at the same time attached to Krishna, always remembering Krishna and engaged in the life in this world, who lives an ordinary life in this world, right? That's one group. Aksharam avyaktam, andaryami inside, akshara brahmam, avyaktam, andaryami, tesham ke yoga, one who worships him with the andaryami seriously and who has completely disconnected from the world, because his karma has finished. A person whose karma has finished and who is attached to the Andaryami Vasana inside. Which one of them is the best? This is Arjuna's question. Right? Question is very interesting, because in the sense that in this world you'll always have these problems, because most of the people take Bhagavad Gita as a sort of a law book in many ways. But the difficulty with Bhagavad Gita is that we also have to know where we stand in life to connect with Bhagavad Gita. It's not one blanket instruction for everyone. In Bhagavad Gita there are so many instances where you will get a lot of difficulties in connecting with Bhagavad Gita. Mainly because our own personal position in life is different. We are all in different situations in life, right? Just like you can see, Krishna talks about Shraddha in life. And when he talks about Shraddha, he talks about food, for example. Satya, Rajasa, Tamasam. Three different types of Shraddha he talks about, right? So, whom does it apply actually? Because Satya Aharam, the Krishna has spoken, this is the type of food in the those who are in the Sattvagunam. This is the type of food for those in Rajasam, those in the Tamasam, different three types of food, right? So if everybody starts thinking that this is all for me and I have to follow the Sattvagunam, that is not possible in this world, because according to your occupations, everything changes, your way of life. For example, if you tell a soldier who is fighting a war in Kargil in that freezing cold, you tell him you should only take prasadam offered to Krishna and that too pure vegetarian and everything, it will be difficult. His body is Rajasam. He is doing a Rajasic job, Kshatriya job. And to tell him that he has to follow this Bhagavad Gita's instructions, in that conditions, to make him to think of as a devotee, to tell him to follow those laws will be difficult for him. Similarly, sportsmen who are engaged in sporting activities, they need to have Rajasic nature in them to engage in the sports. So there is a lot of discrimination required in all these things when we study Bhagavad Gita. Many things in Bhagavad Gita is actually referring to people who are doing a high level of sadhana in life. It is addressing to them, many of the chapters. Because people who, according to Bhagavad Gita, people who come to spiritual life, they are supposed to have certain spiritual abilities, spiritual qualifications, like those who have come to realize the life in this world is temporary, or there is not much much to do in this world. Attraction for the world has gone from them. In other words, vairagyam has come. And they are not carried away by the big things in this world. It's not attracting because they know it's temporary, one thing. Secondly, they also know that the way the world is created is also made of happiness and distress. So any amount of energy you invest into it, at the end, you are going to get a lot of distress from the world. That's also a known thing. So people who have gone through all this and come to some understanding about life, that they realize that there is nothing much to expect from this world, they don't have any more expectations from this world. In other words, vairagyam had come. So for them, this knowledge will work. They will be the only people who can do sadhana properly. All others are doing, people who are trying to do both things together, material happiness and spiritual life together, they will always have difficulty because vyavaharam and adhyatma vidya won't go together very much. There's always a problem there. It's a recognized fact that spiritually one wants to make progress and one wants to do a lot of sadhana. For such people, they'll have to come out of vyavaharam one day or the other. You can't keep this going for their whole life, vyavaharam and adhyatma vidya together. So most of the people are stuck in vyavaharam in life. It's difficult for them to pull out from that. So they also have to know their limitations because of that. So when Krishna talks about many things in the Bhagavad Gita, we may not be able to take it on board because of our lifestyle and the way we are stuck in the family life and relations and social life and all sorts of things. They will all have its effect on us, and it's impossible to do adhyatma sadhana in a higher level at that stage. And many chapters in the Bhagavad Gita is addressing to those who have come to adhyatma vidya having given up on this world practically. That has to be remembered, right? So Krishna, Arjuna is asking this question with this in the background. Arjuna has this doubt that you are saying all these things to me, but who is better? Because somebody is busy in life, but at the same time, somehow or the other, they are able to remain in some level of Krishna consciousness. Is that the good thing? Or the other one, who has realized a lot of problems with this world and had withdrawn from the world and doing the adhyatma sadhana purely in respect to the antaryami insight? This is the question, that first verse. Evam sadada yuktaye bhaktastvam paribhasade echapi aksharam avyaktam teshamke yogavittama. Who is the best? Arjuna has asked. When answering this, Krishna didn't answer the question at all, straight away. He didn't give a direct answer to the question. Krishna explained the situation first with both of them. That is how it is in spiritual life. People have this modern understanding that everything is question-answer. And the speaker has to be like an answering machine, answering all the questions what's coming. That is not spiritual life. Spiritual life doesn't work like that. It's not a Q&A session, well, like the way it is done in many cases, is it not? But unfortunately, that's the way it is now, what's happening. Right. So, Arjuna asked this question, Ejaabhi aksharam avyaktam teshanve yogavittama. We also have the similar problems, isn't it? That we compare people and say, who is a bigger guru, who has got more followers, then I'll go with that. And this kind of understanding, who has got more disciples, that means he must be a very popular guru. And more people are taking initiation from him, so he is more qualified in this way, right? And this Swami is big or that Swami is big. And similarly, in comparing the books also, which one is a more popular book? Whose commentary is most popular? In this way, people start, that's how the modern world is like that, because they lost the power to understand things and think about it. So they are just carried away by the populace vote or popularity of anything, right? So, first part of that verse, evam satada yuktaya bhaktasvam bharivasade, is referring to those who are doing vyavaharam in this world, but at the same time they are attached to Krishna. They are in nishta. They have some steadiness in their spiritual path, right? That's one group. Or he says, yogis or jnanis or devotees also who have come to understand that akshara brahma paramam, ejapi aksharam avyaktam, that akshara brahmam, purushottama, andaryami inside, who serves them with the devotion. Which one is the best one? Best option, we say. You can say it this way, when you are in the vyavaharam level in the world, ubhadi with ubhadi, saguna brahman, saguna upasana, right? Vyavaharam goes on with the saguna upasana goes on, saguna brahman, right? And are they the best one, or that Krishna has spoken at the end of Bhagavad Gita, tameva sharanam gacha sarvabhavena bharata, that andaryami upasana, which one is better? This is the question. You see, when Krishna said that verse, you have to remember, where did that come from? Ishvara sarvabhudanam hruddeshe arjuna tishtadi, brahmen sarvabhudani yantrarudhani maya, tameva sharanam gacha. Krishna spoke about that group. Tameva sharanam gacha, sarvabhavena bharata, tal prasadal param shandim, sthanam prapsisi shashvatam. He said that, isn't it? So, they are the people who have completely surrendered and taken shelter of the Andaryami. Given up all this material life, material happiness, everything, their karma has run out. In other words, they have become free from their vasanas. And prarabdham has also practically finished for such people, right? So between these two, those who are doing vyavaharam in this world, absorbed in this world, but at the same time their mind is attached to Krishna. They, because of the prarabdham and karma vasana in them, they are still finding it difficult to withdraw from the world. Krishna has put us everyone in different situations in life. We got to recognize that. It is no point in saying one rule for all. It is, Vedic knowledge is not like that. People are, according to their situations, everything changes, right? So, that Chaitanya as Andaryami inside, which has no Upadhis, and pure Bhodham, Alpasarupam, and who are the best? Yogavittama, he says. Teshamke Yogavittama. Who are the best, right? So, Bhagavad Gita is full of yogam, isn't it? All kinds of yogam spoken about it. Karma yogam, bhakti yogam, jnana yogam. Apart from that, we have raja yogam. Even Arjuna's distress in the beginning is called vishada yogam. Is it not? Arjuna vishada yogam, it says. Right? So, Bhagavad Gita's message is that everything should become a yogam at the end. Right? That's why Krishna keeps saying to Arjuna, tasmad yogi bhavarjuna, he says to Arjuna, right? So, yoga means, what does yoga mean? Yoga means, in every situation, whatever it may be, not getting affected by the distress in life, able to stay in that state. When suffering comes, a lot of sufferings will come in life in different forms. But even when they come, not to get affected by that distress and able to stay above that, right? And to realize that there is no such thing called death for the self, right? And that realization, I am that Atma, untouched by death, untouched by the sufferings, and able to maintain that steadiness inside is yoga. That's the yoga state, right? So, so Arjuna's question was that while doing vyavaharam in this world, situated in that state, and are they the best ones, or those who are absorbed in the worship of the Antaryami inside? Who is the better ones out of that, right? Generally, you can say it is referring to sagunam nirgunam, upasana. Sagunovasana, nirgunovasana. In general terms, you can say like that, right? Because the creation outside world is sagunam, sagaram it is. And those who are absorbed in the world outside, naturally their attachment will be to the sagunam side. And those who are in that sagunam, means attributes, the form worship, everything, right? Are they the best, or Atma, Antaryami, who is beyond modes of nature, Gunadhitan state, and fully absorbed in that Antaryami Atma, are they the best? This is the question, right? So let's look at it, what the Arjuna Krishna has to say about it, right? Shri Bhagavan Uvacha, Maya Vesha Manoyemam Nitya Yukta Upasade Shraddhaya Parayo Vedasteme Yukta Dhamma Madaha. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha, Krishna is answered like that. His answer begins in that way, right? So, Satata Yukta, Arjuna asked the question. Satata Yukta means that always absorbed in spiritual activities. And Arjuna's position is like that. He is involved in the world. He is a fighter, isn't he? Kshatriya he is. So. And when Krishna answered their question, right? Akshara upasaka samyak darshino nivrte shanate tavat dishtando. He said that, this is Acharya Swami's commentary on that, he's saying that this people who are given up this world and who are absorbed in the Antaryami, leave them behind. We will not talk about them now, he said. That's another topic altogether. We won't mix that with this now. And now Krishna is also saying, my avesha mano yemam nitya yukta upasade shraddhaya pareyo vedasteme yukta namo mata. Krishna says that instead of answering about both the categories of people, Krishna says one whose mind is some people's prarabdham is to continue with vyavaharam for a long time. Prarabdham is not finishing, so vyavaharam will continue because of that, right? For some other people, because their prarabdham has come to an end, even if they look for a karmam, they won't find it. That's also there in this world. Some people, they try to find a karmam, but karmam is not there for them because their vyoharam is finished, karmam is finished, prarabdham is finished, right? So both these categories of people are in this world, who has a lot of prarabdham to run out, and others who are, prarabdham is almost coming to an end, right? So, you can observe that some people cannot come out of karmam. It is stuck in that quagmire of karma, right? And and some other people, even if they look for karma, they can't find anything. That situation also comes, right? Whatever they do, nothing will work. Because what is the reason? Because they don't have the prarabdham to do the karma. So their prarabdham is run out, right? So, Krishna didn't talk about either of these two. Instead, Krishna is saying, my avesha mano yemam nitya yukta upasade. One who is, mind is absorbed in me, in Atma or Ishvara, and continuously engaged in that, you have to remember that this chapter is Bhakti Yogam. Bhakti Yogam is the topic here, right? So, in Bhagavad Gita's language, more or less you can see when Krishna talks about that, that dhyanam or meditation or absorption of the mind is referred as bhakti. Bhakti is addressed in that way. Mostly the absorption of your mind, right? This dhyanam, what Krishna talks about, is not, because when you say dhyanam, people get carried away thinking that it's a meditation courses, what goes on in the wide world. It's not that dhyanam Krishna is talking about. Dhyanam can come any time. That means how far the mind is connected to Krishna, attached to Krishna. Means self, the Antaryami. That realization inside of our identity as the self, as the Atma, not the body. That situation. Attachment to Krishna means that. Krishna is the Antaryami inside. So, dhyanam can come any time, anywhere, in any situation, right? For example, while you are walking, the thoughts can go towards Antaryami. While you are traveling in a bus or a train or sometime, it can happen, right? And that dhyanam, you remember, this is a famous story about Guru Nanak. Guru Nanak was very famous. Spiritually, he was so advanced at that stage, but he was working in a grocery shop, and he had to, transact his business in the grocery shop, what he was doing in them days. It's not like the supermarkets now. You go and pick up what you want. You go to the shop, and you tell them what you want, and they will measure it and give it to you. The old shops, such shops doesn't exist much now. Maybe in the villages somewhere, but most of the people are used to supermarkets now. So, what happened to Guru Nanak was, he was measuring wheat and rice and other things from the gunny bags, and he has to measure and give it to them. Every time he'll measure and count, 1, 2, 3, like that. Some customer came and he was measuring and giving it to him. So, in Hindi as they say, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, like that it went on. Then 11, 12, 13, when it came 13, he fell into transcendental mood. He fell into that Krishna conscious mood, in other words. He couldn't forget. He was a devotee of Hari. And he remembered Krishna that time. And he started, Thera, Thera, Thera. He couldn't go further than that. Suddenly it hit him that dhyanam comes to him. So that is how dhyanam is. When it will come, where it will come, it's very difficult to say. Anywhere it can happen. But because of his spiritual consciousness, in his life, this is a well-known thing quoted every time about Guru Nanak, said that this dhyanam comes to him and he couldn't count further after that. When it came to 13, Thera, 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 suddenly he remembered Krishna, that everything belongs to him, that strong feeling inside him, right? So that undercurrent inside in a person, right? So, it becomes his realization basically, anubhuti for him, right? So, it doesn't matter that you have to come to the temple for this. Even in a shop, this can happen to him, right? So, in other words, what may not have come in the temple, it can happen outside somewhere, right? And it is not the fault of the temple, and it is the makeup of the person, it is nature, right? For example, when you are doing the deity worship, it may not come, because then your mind could go somewhere else, because that's the nature of the mind, right? On the other hand, it can come in the bathroom, the thoughts can come strongly, right? So, what Krishna is saying is, where you have done that samarpanam, chittam, has completely samarpanam happened, there it can come, he says. That depends on the condition of the chitta inside, right? So, and like Ramachandra says in the Ramayana, that one who surrenders to me or who comes to me and says to me, I am yours, then I will accept him under any circumstances, unconditionally. You remember the famous Vibhishana Sharanagari. It's well known for that, is it not? There was so much a discussion about it. Should we accept him? Because Ramchandra's ministers had a big discussion about it. Anjaneya, Hanuman, Jambavan, and Jambavan and Angada, everybody was involved. Sugriva was also there. So in that discussion, Vibhishana decided to surrender and he had come. And these people, these advisors, they all had doubts whether we should accept him or not to accept him and things like that, right? So Ramachandra says that if he has accepted me, then it's finished. Business is over. Then he is mine. Famous verses in the Ramayana, right? Ramachandra says, one has taken my shelter, that's it. That's the end of the story. There is no more discussion required about it. That's how it was decided at the end. Whatever intentions Vibhishana, after all, Vibhishana is Ravana's brother. So naturally, everybody has doubt. Can we trust him? Has he come with some motive behind it? And when this conversation happened, Ramachandra, Sugriva says, how can we trust him? He is betraying his own brother. And Ramachandra looked at Lakshmana and smiled. Because Sugriva has done the same thing with Bali, isn't it? So you can see from that, but Ramachandra doesn't matter, all these things is of no importance. Ramachandra says he has come and I have accepted him. It doesn't matter. But the way he smiled at Lakshmana with a meaningful smile, everybody understood that Sugriva is not very genuine. Sugriva doesn't have done any sadhana. Purely out of Ramachandra's mercy he escaped from this world. Right? So, Shraddhaya Parayo Peda, right? Shraddha means that what is this? Shraddha is a very powerful thing. We all, Krishna has given human species this one thing called Shraddha. Where you put this Shraddha, that is where the life is it not? The Shraddha is the one that is driving our life also. Because that's what is inside us, this power of Shraddha, right? Generally, the definition of Shraddha in the Viveka Chudamani is Shastrasya Guru Vakyasya Satya Buddhyavadharana Sa Shraddha, it says. So in other words, Shastram, one has to have total acceptance without any doubts about Shastram. Shastrasya Guru Vakyasya Satya Buddhyavadharana Sa Shraddha, it says, right? This Shraddha is such a powerful thing, because that's what our life is. Our life is Shraddha actually. Where the Shraddha is, that's where the life is going, in that way, is it not? So, Shastram is perfect. The great Acharyas and their teachings are perfect. And if you have a faith like that inside, then it will control you completely. That's what he's saying. Shraddhaya Parayo Veda. We will study this Shraddha seriously when we come to the 17th chapter. Shraddhatraya Vibhaga Yoga in the Bhagavad Gita. 17th chapter is called Shraddhatraya Vibhaga Yoga. Shraddha is such a powerful thing. Your spiritual life also is dependent on this Shraddha. To what extent that Shraddha is there, accordingly you will make that changes in life will happen, right? And paraya shraddhaya upetaha, right? The greatest mercy of Krishna is this kripa. Kripa, Krishna's kripa, right? And that kripa is this shraddha. Krishna's kripa is this shraddha. What happens inside us, right? When that Shraddha comes inside, that is what he is saying here. Shraddhaya Parayo Veda. Yeah? Vedaha. When Shraddha comes, this call from inside for self-realization will come. naturally. You will be able to get out of this interest in this world. Attraction will go. All other things what we consider important based on the society, you know how it is, society gives value for so many things, all that connection will break automatically. There will be no interest in this world anymore. That is the time when inside you feel the need for self-realization. There are many factors which happens before this happens. Like temporary and permanent, that realization. The world is temporary. That realization has to come. But most of the people think the world is permanent. Even if it is temporary, they know it is temporary, but they are not able to come out of that Brahman, that the world is temporary thing. Life is temporary. Everything what we do here is temporary. It is not much of an importance in the sense. But we have given so much importance to it, thinking that this is everything in life. This working life, earning money, maintaining the family, the job, all this has become the priority for us. That's because this reason only. Our Shraddha is in that. Shraddha has not come to the Atma yet. Shraddha is still in the world, right? So, when proper Shraddha comes, that's when Krishna's Kripa comes, mercy comes, there will be a call from inside to pull out of all these things, right? At that time, Shastram will make sense. Till then, Shastram also won't make sense. You will hear this way, it will go the other way. Won't have any impact on us, right? You see, the Shraddha is such a powerful thing that, you also know this story probably, that Paramacharya's case, Paramacharya once, when he was there, that MGR wanted to go and see him, isn't it? So, because MGR was, you know, film star, he was so famous that time. It was that time. He obviously recognized Paramacharya's position and wanted to offer respects to him. But because he was such a famous film star, wherever he goes, thousands and thousands of people are following him, as usual in the film industry. And so there was a private meeting arranged between Paramacharya and he was the chief minister at that time, I think, MGR. And they made the meeting at 2 o'clock in the morning in a location unknown to anybody, so that they could meet and talk. Otherwise, wherever he goes, people are going like a flock, following him, right? So, when they met, somehow some people came to know about it, and then a lot of people came there to see MGR, not Paramacharya. This is the world, I'm saying. They came to see MGR, not Paramacharya. Anyway, they had the meeting, and at the end, when he was walking away, she asked Paramacharya, "Do you have any message for me?" Paramacharya said to him, "All these people who had come, they have not come to see me, they have come to see you, right? That means their Shraddha is in you." Yeah. He was trying to make MGR understand this. He was telling them properly to understand this, right? And that Shraddha of a person is his actual wealth in life. And if you abuse that Shraddha, you are not doing the right thing to them. So that warning he gave it to him, to MGR, that don't abuse them using their Shraddha. Somehow or the other, their Shraddha is in the wrong place. Most of the people in this world, their Shraddha is in the wrong place. Film stars, sports celebrities, politicians, businessmen, that's where our Shraddha is. Most of the people, Shraddha is there. So Paramacharya was saying to him, they have Shraddha, everybody has Shraddha. But don't misguide the Shraddha in the wrong direction. Give them in the right track. Because what we have got in this life is this Shraddha only. It is this, with this Shraddha only our life is going on in this world. And that Shraddha, if you misuse it or abuse it, then your life is finished. It's over with that. So that's what Krishna is also saying here. Shraddhaya varayobher. Only spiritual personalities know the value of all these things. They understand what a human being is. If the Shraddha gone in the wrong direction, life is gone. And that's where it is, the problem is. Right? So, in the same way, Shraddha can come in different ways in life, right? Shastra will make sense to you when you have Shraddha comes in a person's life, right? Similarly, spiritual master's instructions will make sense. Otherwise, you are hearing and it will go like that. For some people, Shraddha will come in the form of Vairagyam. Vairagyam will come to them, right? For some others, it will come in the form of the realization of Antaryami inside. For some others, it will come in the form of Bhakti. In all these different ways, Shraddha can gradually change in a person's life, right? All these are the power of Shraddha. Shraddha's different power is like this. It can come in Vairagyam, come in the form of Bhakti, come in the form of Atmanubhavam or experience of the self, or it can come in the form of spiritual master's instructions become serious inside, right? Or Shastram can make more sense to you then. Till then, Shastram and all just stories, you keep listening, comes and goes all the time, right? So, and that time you will realize the power of Shraddha, how powerful Shraddha is, right? And its strength. And in great personalities you see this. In great Mahalmas you will find this, their Shraddha in one place, right? And and similarly, experiences of many things what Krishna has spoken will make more sense inside. Otherwise you are taking instructions all the time, but no realization inside, right? And so others will keep saying that whole life, they'll keep saying, I got this doubt, I got that doubt about spiritual life. Endless doubts and questions. And you'll go on doing this whole life, asking questions, right? In the fourth chapter, if you remember, Krishna said this, that that's what Krishna is talking about, right? In the fourth chapter, he said, 40th verse, Ajnyascha ashraddhadanascha, ashraddhadanascha, samshayalma vinashyadi. Samshayalma vinashyadi, he says, right? Ajnyascha ashraddhadanascha, samshayalma vinashyadi. Nayam logosti na paro na sokham samshayatmana. If you keep on living in doubt all the time, asking questions, every time, right? He will never be happy in this world, he won't be happy in the next world either. Very blunt statement Krishna has spoken, right? Ajnyascha, ashraddhadanascha, he is ajna, shraddha is not there, and samshayatma vinashari, he is samshayatma, all the time doubts, vinashari, right? Nayam logosti na paro, neither in this world nor in the life after death, na sukham, there won't be happiness for him. Why? Samshayatmana. He is samshayatmana. He has got doubts about everything. So you have to remember this, because there is a tendency in the modern world that you have to ask questions. That's alright, you can ask questions, but first you accept Shastram, what Shastram is saying. You're not accepting even Shastram. And in Shastram you've got all these problems, whether this is right, that is right, things like that. The reason is this, that Krishna said that verse particularly because Shraddha is not there, right? How will Shraddha come? Shraddha comes from tapasya. From tapasya comes Shraddha, right? And like Upanishad says this, Chandokyam, you take annam, annam becomes balam, balam becomes viryam, viryam becomes tapasya, tapasya becomes Shraddha. That is the way it happens, yeah. Annam begins with annam. Annam becomes balam. Balam becomes viryam. Viryam becomes viryam becomes tapasya. Tapasya becomes shraddha. And shraddha leads to jnanam, knowledge later, right? So and so tapasya is required. Shraddhaya bharayo veda steme yukta tamo mada. Tapasya is required for Shraddha, right? And Krishna didn't give a direct answer to Arjuna's question there. Instead, he answered it in this way. Right? We normally expect a direct answer. That's what we are used to. Direct answer, isn't it? Because direct answer, rishis also say the same thing, is useless. Direct answer is useless. The reason is this, that we won't think then anymore. Once you get a direct answer, the problem with direct answer is you won't think anymore, right? That means no contemplation will happen. No mananam will come from that person. And what we like is Q&A sessions, isn't it? Q&A, people like that. That way. So, Arjuna asked this question. Those who are in the material world, living a material life, and absorbed in Krishna, are they the best? Or one who has given up everything and take completely withdrawn from the world, are they better? And taken to Antaryami's worship, Antaryami Upasana, like spoken in the Upanishads and all. Which is the best one out of the two? This is Arjuna's question, right? And if you look here, he's saying here that we will talk about them later. Ajari Swamiji says like that. Nitya Yukta Mai Vishwarupe Sarveshwari Avesha Samadhaya Mano Ye Bhaktaha Sandaha Mam Sarva Yogeshwaranam Adishwaram Sarvatyam Vimukta Ragadi Klesha Timira Drishtim Nitya Yuktaha Adida Anandara Dhyayo Andokta Shlokartha Nyayena Satata Yukta Santam Upasade Shraddhaya Paraya Prakrashtaya Upeyataya Ma Te Me Mama Mata Abhipreda Yukta Tama Iti. He says that this Nitya Yuktas, that means Akshara Upasana, Akshara Brahma Upasana, right? Their story we will talk later. We won't talk about it now. Right now, one who is busy in samsaram, right? One who is busy in samsaram, sarvasarunga parityagi, or one who has given up samsaram, material existence in this world, neither of them are the we talk now, or Krishna is saying. We won't talk about neither of them, because important thing is, where is your Shraddha first of all? That's the more important factor, right? Where your Shraddha is, and how Dhyanam is there inside. Dhyanabalam. Dhyanabalam means the power that comes from that Dhyanam, meditation. Meditation, as I said, not the meditation what you are talking about, the courses and all other things. How far the mind is absorbed in self-realization, in the spiritual life, adhyatma side, right? That is the question, right? Sri Narada Maharshi spoke about this one step further. He says, and if any emotions, any kind of emotion what we have, if you are able to direct it towards Krishna, right? He is yogi, Krishna, Narada Maharshi says, right? In the seventh canto, he talks about that. He said, even Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu, they are yogis, isn't it? They are yogis. In the sense that Yudhishthira was surprised when Narada Maharshi said that Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu are yogis, he said. Because Yudhishthira says, we approach Krishna with bhakti. Bhakti yogam they were following, right? And Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu are even greater than Yudhishthira and others as yogis, right? You will see in the seventh canto, Bhagavatam, in the first chapter itself, Sri Narada Maharshi says, 26th verse, 7126. Yatha vairanu bandhena matyastan mayadamiyal na tatha bhakti yogena idime nishchidamadi. Yatha vairanu bandhena matyastan mayadamiyal na tatha bhakti yogena idime nishchidamadi. Krishna says that this is my opinion there, right? Narada Maharshi says that. Why is he saying that? Because Hiranyaksha, Hiranyakashipu and all, they hated Krishna, isn't it? Dvesham inside. You will never be able to develop a dhyanam as powerful as what you do it through the hate, dvesham. Right? And that is not possible with bhakti. What is possible? So dhyanam, that dhyana bhavam, inside dhyana bhalam, for Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu was much higher compared to Yudhishthira had. Yudhishthira had bhakti. So Narada Maharshi clarified there itself. Dhyanam is more important than dhyana power, power of dhyanam. That is why Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu, they managed to get out from there in three lifetimes. Yudhishthira hasn't. Yudhishthira still had to wait. So that is to show to us that dhyanam is such a powerful thing. Where our shraddha is, that's where the dhyanam will be. If the shraddha is in Krishna, dhyanam will be there always. But if shraddha is not in Krishna, then there won't be any dhyanam inside, right? These personalities, they are hate, they hated Krishna, right? And, but that yoga process is not possible for everybody. What? Because they have come with this special ticket from Vaikuntha when they came here, right? So, so you can see sometimes some mad persons come and they destroy the temples. You remember in history, you go back, you will see how many temples they have come and they raised it to the ground. And people ask this question that if our God or Swami is in the temple, why did he do anything about it when they came and did this? People ask all this question. You know, all average person. He thinks that if God is in the temple, you're worshipping him there, could he not do something about it when they came and bulldozed the temple, right? But what you have to remember is that this is the way he is going to get liberated, that man who has done it. For him, his mukti margam is in this. He has to do this, right? Krishna is not bothered about your stone and the mud and all that. That's not important, right? So, for us that is important. The temple, the building, the deity, all these things, right? But for them, this path of hate in them will grow and grow and grow. And one day, they will turn. And you will see this happening to many people. Initially, they are totally atheistic, they believe in this yuktivadam, you know, they believe in logic and science and all that. And one day they will realize all this science, logic and all doesn't work when the suffering comes in life. And that's when they switch. Their attitude changes, mindset, mentality changes like that. And Sri Narada Maharshi used a beautiful expression there. Samrambha Sambhrada Samadhi Anubaddha Yoga. That is how he puts it. Samrambha Sambhrada Samadhi Anubaddha Yoga. He said like that, right? Samrambha means this hate. Hate inside. And you will see often this is spoken in Shivananda Lahari. Ajarya Swamiji mentions this, right? That he says to Shiva that I chanted your name a lot. Panjasharam I chanted a lot. And then I recited a lot of verses. I did a lot of worship of you. I meditated on you. And I tried samadhi also. Nothing is working still. I am as I am. Arjuna, there is a pastime of Arjuna and Shiva together. Arjuna took his bow and beat Lord Shiva's head. And broke it. Broke Lord Shiva's head. Arjuna is Shiva's devotee. Remember in the hunter and hunter's form. Sri Parvati and Arjuna, there is a pastime between Arjuna and Shiva, like that, right? Similarly, there is a story of Kannappa Nayanar, a famous devotee of Shiva. He was attached to Shiva, but he didn't follow any principles or anything. He has no idea of any philosophy. He used to brush Shivalingam with his shoes on, to clean the Shivalingam. That is how his relationship was with him. Right? And Acharya Swamiji says, they all got your mercy, why I don't get it? He said, do I have to come and beat you up? He says, like Kannappa Nayanar has done. So bhakti is such a thing, very difficult to understand it from our position, right? And he says that I'll go home and bring some stone and break your head so that you'll be pleased with me, like Kannappa Nayanar has done, right? So, that is why in the Bhagavatam says, yena jena pipayena mana krishna niveshayat. Somehow or the other, the mind has to go towards Antaryami, Krishna inside us, Antaryami. In other words, that seriousness has to come in spiritual life. When that has not happened, we will be beating around the bush all the time, asking questions, clarifying this, clarifying that. It's all collecting information only, nothing more than that. Right? So, the point is that somehow or the other, the mind should become attracted to Krishna. Right? And that is Yoga Karmasu Kaushalam, Krishna is saying there. Right? So the yogi's approach is, somehow or the other, this chittam, and whichever way, get attracted to the goal, and the shraddha is there. Right? And is the mind staying in that spot, where the goal is? That is the important thing. How can that be done? Right? And how to do that is not the important thing, but somehow or the other, you have to get there, to the goal. Right? So, some people say this, that you can see even devotees' case, right? They, when they chant the holy name in the room, in the temple room or deity room, their mind is not absorbed. But then when they are traveling in the train or in the bus, or sometimes the mind goes back to spiritual thoughts, comes to him, right? So, therefore, in many places, people travel a lot, those who are going to work for 1 or 2 hours, driving one way, coming back another way. So a lot of people at that time, they realize that it's a good time to remember Krishna that way. And that time they try to create kirtanam and lectures and things like that. They hear at that time to get absorbed because their mind is free from other effect, right? And they find it, they are saying that we are able to chant better when we are driving. But when we are at home, it cannot be done because the environment at home, family, wife, children, all of them, right? They're finding it difficult at home, but they're able to do it when they are alone, right? You can see this in places like Bombay, when people are engaged, not all from ISKCON, but other parambaras also, when they are traveling in the train, they are reading Bhagavad Gita. Because they know 1.5 hour they have to travel from one end to the other. And they are so busy in life at home as well as in the office. So the only time they have for themselves is in this time when they are traveling in the tube. So, Kabir said the same thing. He is able to chant the holy name of Ramchandra while he was weaving the cloth. Right? So it is like that. For some, when they are cooking in the kitchen, it can come. Thoughts can come like that. Anusandhanam, right? So Krishna is saying, Mai avesha mano yemam. Is your mind in the right place? When is it in the right place, right? So the other things like puja, worship at home and all that, right? For some people, dhyanam can come that way. It is only to support the dhyanam. Puja, japam, dhyanam, all the other things are just to help this dhyanam to come inside, right? That is how they developed all this, deity worship and chanting the holy name and meditation and all other sadgrantha bharayam or all the sadhana bhakti processes are developed to get this dhyanam inside, right? There is also very complex puja systems. The puja systems what is followed in most of the temples are very simple ones. Right? But some of the pujas like Sri Vidya Sampradaya, if you look into their deity worship and all that, hours and hours it lasts. Very complicated, complex ways of worship. Right? And we won't understand anything, what is being done. Right? And all that is created only to get this focus, ekagrada, in the mind. Mind's nature is everywhere. To get the mind into one place, to focus on things. Right? For anushtanam, all anushtanam have been developed for this purpose. Right? So, important thing is, how dhyanam comes to a person. That is the thing. It can happen any time. So that is why Krishna has only spoken about that in this, in that verse. Mai avesha mano yemam nitya yukta upasade shraddhaya parayo vaira steme yukta tamo mada. One whose mind is in me and is he practicing his yoga process, right? He is the best. Krishna said like that. That's how he answered that. Instead of answering which one is better, he says, one whose mind is in me, he is the best. This was the answer. So you can see this 12th chapter, Bhakti Yogam, it's only 20 verses, but there's a lot of interesting things there. What I'm saying is this, that spiritual life we have to understand from Krishna, what Krishna is saying there, and then analyze it in our own mind and try to understand it properly. Right? So, one who is doing karma in this world, or one who is not doing the karma, or one who is absorbed in the Atma inside, Antaryami, or one who is absorbed in Krishna outside, in the form. Some is nirgunam, some is sagunam, right? But some people's mind will go in the sagunam way, some others will go in the nirgunam way, right? But Krishna didn't say that, sagunam or nirgunam. He says it's the mind in the right place. Is it absorbed in dhyanam, in sagunam or nirgunam? It doesn't matter. Is the mind in the right place? In other words, he's saying it's a shraddha there. That's what matters, he says. Shraddhaya parayo bedas, teme yukta tamo mata. Right? So, Arjuna's question was sagunam or nirgunam? Right? And who, which is the best, right? Krishna's answer was like this, in this way. Krishna says, he left the saguna nirguna and all, and he said, one whose shraddha is in the Atma, he is the best, he said. That's the way he answered it, right? And saguna nirguna is going on for a long time. It's in the Bhagavad Gita. Even if you read in some places, a lot of things spoken about sagunam. And in some places, nirgunam is also glorified. Right? So anyone who reads Bhagavad Gita will have this problem to deal with how to understand this. Right? We want one answer. We can't accommodate two things at the same time. Sagunam and nirgunam. Right? So, it is, Krishna didn't say sagunam nirgunam, Krishna didn't say shaivam vaishnavam either. He said, is there bhakti there? Shraddha is there, right? Realization is there, in whichever it may be, that is what matters, right? That's what matters. So, that is why that verse is interesting. Mayavesha mano yemam nitya yukta upasade Shraddhaya parayo vedas teme yukta tamo mada. That is what matters, Krishna says, right? Nitya yukta. Nitya yukta means that powerful shraddha shakti, in strong shraddha inside, that is nitya yukta, right? One who has got that, he is the best, Krishna says. Nitya yukta. One who is strong inside with shraddha, right? And sometimes you can see this in people, right? The power of Shastram in them. And similarly, the maturity of a person in life, spiritual life, right? The maturity of a person, right? Whether he is matured inside, that all has show the Shraddha in him. Shraddha can be sensed like that in a person. Whether he is Nishtha, Nishtha has come to him. Nishtha, you will see Krishna uses that word often in the Bhagavad Gita. The word Nishtha. Nishtha means he settled down there well. Those who don't have that Nishtha, they are the ones who have got doubts all the time. Keep asking this, that and the other. Right? So, whether a person has a Shraddha in the Acharyas, the great Parambara system, Sampradayam system, right? He has got Shraddha in the Shastram. All these are measurements to measure a person's Shraddha. His faith in the Shastram, his faith in the Guru Parambara, his faith in the instructions, all these things, right? If you see people who come in the proper Sampradaya system, right? If you see a disciple, you will know that about the Guru's position, right? You'll be able to see from the disciple, the Guru's position, right? His attachment to the Guru and his understanding of the Guru principle, right? So, then only you can say, after seeing that, you'll be able to see that person has really found his Guru. Don't go by the world, what's going on in the world outside. The whole thing is in a mess, totally, right? Because we made everything very official. That is the problem. But historically, when you go back into the history, you will see the relationship with Guru is a very divine thing, very sublime thing it is, isn't it? So, so the person has really come into the Sampradaya, Parambara system, right? You will be able to know that by seeing a person, where he is, right? Because if you have really found the Guru properly, you will be totally satisfied after that. And that satisfaction in a person, you will is the power of that Shraddha in him. Shraddha in him, right? Shraddhaya Parayopeda. That is the word Krishna has used, right? Just like, want to travel somewhere, you went to the railway station, you got the ticket, and you are standing on the platform. And your anxiety is still, the train has to come, you have to board the train, get a seat and get settled in the train, right? Till then you have an anxiety. But once the train has come, you got inside, you found your seat and you sat there, you feel relieved, that stress is gone of the travel, because then you know the train will take you to the destination. It is something similar to that. If you have ended up properly in a Parambara system, and if you have genuinely found the Guru, the right person, and if you have a proper faith and trust and Shraddha is there in him, then that relationship will bring the result. Otherwise it won't. It is just one of those modern arrangements. Right? So, so, in that person, he will come to a stable state. He will be in a stable situation. Right? Where did that stability come? Because he got the shelter from the Guru. Similarly, Jiva also, when it gets its shelter, you will see the power of Shraddha there. When it gets its shelter. These are all subtle things. One has to observe these things and then has to understand it. That's how it works, right? Unfortunately, in the world today, everything has to be told. And it's a new generation, isn't it? And as you go further and further, the next will be worse than this. And every spiritual organization also has to go through the same problem. When the founder is there, there will be some Shraddha. And the degree of Shraddha will come down. It's not anybody's fault. It's just the way it is. Because Sattvagunam also goes away. Rajogunam starts coming in. And when Rajogunam comes, priorities change in organization. and the goals will change. And then you will see one more generation go further, tamogunam will come in, and then everything will be different than the way it started. Totally different. In all organizations, spiritual organization ends up like this. So nothing you can do about it. That's the very nature of spiritual organizations. Right? So where there is Shraddha, Krishna is saying here that you will see that perfection in the sense that jnanam, vairagyam, bhakti, these things will be there in that person. Naturally it will come to him, right? And along with that, shastram and the samskaram, everything, when it joins together, that jiva will, if jiva got involved in that way, right, then you can see in that jiva, his shraddha will reflect in his life, right? So, in other words, when you see that person's shraddha, you can say like this, that he has fallen into the right place. He's fallen into the right place. So you look at a person's life, from that you will be able to understand where he is now in spiritually, Adhyatma Vidya, right? So, and they are the people Krishna is saying here, yuktatama. See the word there? Tame yuktatama mada. Yuktatama means that he has come to the right situation. He is in the right place. Who's doing the sadhana? He's in the right place, you see. And yuktam means he is sitting in his right place where he is, right? So, in other words, they have fallen into the track. They are in the right track, right? Then Krishna says, now, the Akshara Uvasana, who is talking about the Akshara Brahma, right? And first of all, there are very few in this world. That's the first thing. Those who are doing Akshara Uvasana, Akshara Brahma, there are very few in this world, right? And there is not much to talk about them. Who are doing Akshara Brahma, Uvasana, there is not much to talk about them because majority of the people in this world are trapped in the karma. Right? And that is the reason, Acharya Swami said, we'll talk about them later. He didn't want to talk about it now. Right? Because to come to that, first of all, you have to get detached from this world. Detachment has to come, not forced detachment. It has to come from realization inside. Vairagyam has to come. And see the world in the right way. Right way means that there is nothing much to do here. We have come here, we have gone through our prarabdham, and we are going. That's all it is, the life here. And in this life, we have taken it, we have created so many other problems with the life. That's our problem. That's not Krishna's problem. We have done that, right? So, people who have broken away with this world, broke away from this world, totally attached to self-realization, because they have come to the conclusion that this is the only thing they have to do in life to realize the truth. To that extent, they have become serious about spiritual life. And that's very rare in this world, very few, right? So, they are the people who realizes that they have given up everything. There is no connection with any ubhadi. Ubhadi means body, mind, senses and all that. Ubhadi bandham also they have withdrawn from that. Connection with the body. They have minimized it. The possible, very minimum they maintain, keep the body, look after the body and the mind and the senses and all that. Right? They are interested in that Atma, the consciousness, Chaitanya inside. Upanishad says, ashariram shariram va shariresu anavasteshu avasthidam. About the Atma. Ashariram shariresu anavasteshu avasthidam. So, Kathopanishad, it talks about that. Right? when Nachiketas went to Yama, there is a discussion about. So Yama said to him the same thing, to Nachiketas, that Ashariram Sharireshu, Anavasteshu Avasthidam. The position of Atma is like that. He explains that, right? So, so about them, what Krishna had to say is the next two verses, if you look here, right? Yetvaksharam anirdesham avyaktam paryupasate sarvatragama chindyamcha kutastam achalam dhruvam. Yetvaksharam anirdesham avyaktam paryupasate sarvatragama chindyamcha kutastam achalam dhruvam. Then, sanniyamendriya gram sarvatra samabuddhaya te pratnu vandimameva sarva bhuta hidye radaha. These two verses is about them. Those who have realized, who have no interest in this world, totally absorbed in the realization of the self. That's their state. Yeah? So those two verses, yetvaksharam anirdesham avyaktam paryupasate sarvatragama chindyancha kutastam achala dhruvam sanniyamendriya gram sarvatra samabuddhaya te praptu vandimam eva sarva bhuta hite radaha. Basically these two verses is referring to liberated souls, jivan mukta stage, right? Actually they are not sadhagas, they are siddhas. They have reached that state, right? Already they got what they want in life. Prarabdham is over practically, and they are waiting to be released from this cycle of birth and death, right? And that is this group. The other group is the one, like majority, is one who is stuck in this material existence, samsaram, right? So Arjuna has compared these two. One who is in the samsaram, in the material existence, doing karma, and this one who has completely come out of the karma and ready for liberation, right? So Krishna is answering, trying to make that clarity to Arjuna. He says to him, Krishna spoke about four kinds of devotees before, did he not? Artho jitnyasu arthati jnani, four people, right? And he also said that yani twalpaiva me matam, he said there, yani twalpaiva me matam, right? And it is about them that yani Krishna is talking about here. Yet aksharam anirdesham, aksharam, aksharam means the one that doesn't get destroyed, no aksharam, it never get destroyed, right? Anirdesham. And means that you cannot define Antaryami based on an object in this world, referring to, right? Avyaktam means that cannot be perceived through senses. Perceived through senses, yeah? Avyaktam paryupasate yetu aksharam anirdeshyam cannot be defined. Avyaktam paryupasate, right? Avyaktam is what is not perceivable through senses, right? Avyaktam, right? And they are meditating on that, dhyanam, on that. How is that? When we talk about this verse, right? Ordinary people will say that this mind, what we have, mind has got one nature, mayam it is. Mayam means it wants to measure everything. Its very nature is like that, isn't it? And that means mind is a limited thing. Mind is a limited thing. If mind cannot grasp something, it will go to sleep. It's the nature of the mind. We also have to know the limitation of our own mind. The mind is like that. When a lot of things are spoken, you can see Bhagavad Gita also classes, people will sometimes they'll fall asleep. When do they fall asleep? The mind is not able to grasp it. At that time, mind will say, let me rest now, I go away. Mind goes away, like that, right? So basically, mind is a limited thing, right? And if you have to know something with the mind, that thing has to be limited. Unlimited things you cannot know with the mind. You can observe that in the world. Space, for example. You cannot know the space because it's unlimited. It goes so many universes, and where does it begin, where does it end? Mind cannot perceive that. So that's the limitation of the mind. That's the way the mind is, right? So, and this what he is talking about in this verse 3 and 4 is this limitless, unlimited nature of the truth. Limitless, right? That's why saying here, sarvatra agamachindyam cha kudastham achalam dhruvam, right? Achindyam, sarvatra agamachindyam cha. Achindyam it is, right? You cannot think about that. And mind can do something only through thoughts, chinda, isn't it? So the instrument of the mind is this thoughts, chinda, right? And mind is always moving this way, that way, isn't it? Fluctuating nature, it has got, right? And that is its nature. Now here, this says here, ajindyanja kudastham it is. Kudastham. And kudastham means it is sheltered very well inside. It's staying inside. Achalam doesn't move. And also kudastham achalam dhruvam. It is fixed. Which one? Andaryami. Andaryami is like that. It is eternal. And it is not like the mind. It is fixed inside, its position is fixed, right? And it is kodastham, right? So, when you ask this question, how to know him with the mind, that is not possible, right? And yogis also knows about this, that with the mind it is not possible to connect with the Andaryami. With the mind it is not possible. Right? Therefore, that is why when you look at it this way, sadhaka, one who is doing sadhana, and one who has perfected, they are the siddha. Sadhana you do and you become perfect, then you are called siddha. Right? Sadhaka and siddhas, you shouldn't compare them. Because they are in two different levels. Sadhaka is one who is doing sadhana. Siddha is one who has perfected it. Siddha. So sadhana and siddhas, they are two different levels. And why? Because Krishna is saying there, sanniyamendriya gramam sarvatra samabuddhaya te prapnuvandi mameva sarvabhudahide radaha. Right? Those who control the senses, for complete control of the senses, right? That is sanniyamendriya gramam. There is no chance of them falling. Like Vishwamitra Maharshi fell down, did he not? Right? And is there a chance like that to fall again? Sarvatra samabuddhaya. And they are equally minded towards everybody else. They have not performed a tapasya, but their buddhi sarvatra samabuddhaya, equal mind, right? In other words, referring to that jnani spoken in the Bhagavad Gita, right? They are seeing Andaryami everywhere, in everything. And the purpose of their life in this world itself, sarvabhuta hite ratha. See what Krishna says? Te prapnu mandimam eva sarvabhuta hite ratha. That's their existence in this world, equal to all, right? And they want that everyone should feel in this life, they should realize the truth. That's what they want from everybody, right? So, in other words, they are not looking at others through the body. They don't look at through the body, right? And in their case, Krishna says to Arjuna, I have nothing to say about them. That's how he mentioned here. You look at those two verses. Etvaksharam ayardesham avyaktam paryupasade sarvatra gamachindyam cha kudastham ajaladruvam sanniyamyendriya gramam sarvatra samabuddhaya te praknu vandimameva sarvabhuta hite rataha. So, there are few things here, right? It is not easy to define this. Etvaksharam anirdesham. Anirdesham. You cannot define it. Nirdesham is not possible, right? Avyaktam it is. Unmanifested. Akshara Brahmam, right? And because it's not vyaktam, it doesn't have a name or form, Andaryami. It is difficult to define. Then, upasanam nama yatha shastram upasasya arthasya vishayigaranena samipyam ubagamya taila dharavat samana pratyaksha pravahena dirghagalam yad asanam tad upasanam achakshate. Shastram says what upasana means, right? When you are near close to the object to whom you are doing the upasana, and able to keep that vastu, object inside, continuously, just like from a pot of oil, if you have a drop, how the oil flows from the pot at the bottom, if you have a hole in the pot. Similarly, if the mind is continuously going with that object in that way, that is continuous upasdhyanam, like that. That is upasana. So, sarvatraga vyomavad vyapi, achindyam cha avyaktatvad achindyam, yad hi karana gocharam tad manasa avichindyam, tad vibiridatvad achindyam aksharam kudastam. Because it's present everywhere, chaitanyam, sarvatragam achindyam cha, sarvatragam, right? And because it is not vyaktam, mind cannot be used in that. Mind cannot think about it. Mind wants a certain form and object for the mind to relate with that, right? And therefore it is achindyam. You can notice one thing, whatever you see through senses, those things you can think of with the mind. Mind and the senses. If senses can identify an object, mind can relate with that. Any object. What the senses can relate with. Mind can make contact with that. Right? Here, this one is achindyam. Mind cannot do anything with that. Right? And because he is andaryami, andaryami means he is right deep inside us. Kodastham. This is the kodam. He is kodastham. Inside this kodam, right inside in the kodam, he is inside. Gross body, subtle body, and still inside than that. He is so interior, kudastham is, right? Then, drishyamana gunam andar dosham vastu kudumbam kudam kudastham kudasaksham ityado kudashabdam prasiddho loge. Avidyadi, why is it called like that? Avidyadi aneka samsara bijam andar doshavat maya vyagradadi shabda vachyam maya tu prakritim vidyat mayinam tu maheshwaram mama maya duratyaya ityado prasiddham tasmin kude siddham idi kudastham tad adhyakshataya. In other words, he has qualities, gunam, but inside there is problems. In the sense, you will see Kuda Sakshi means Kala Sakshi. In other words, one who is, sometimes witnesses comes and he is not a witness, but then he is giving witness in the court. So that means he is not actual witness, he is a false one. Right? So, because of the avidya inside us. Everybody has that, right? And due to that, maya is in us, inside us, and it is avyaktam for us. Which one? Kodastam. Andaryami, who is Kodastam, that is why he is called a Kodastam. He is inside us, right? Shastram says, he is inside us. We are not able to recognize his presence inside. Why is that? Maya and the avidya inside us. And that is why he is called a Kodastam. That is the Kodam. Kodam means these false things, ignorance, avidya, that maya has put us inside, what is present inside us. Therefore, we are not able to perceive his presence inside us. That's why it's called kodastham. You see the word kodastham? Kodastham means that. Yeah? So, there is problem inside us, which is avidya, ajnanam, which is come from maya. And he is avyaktam. In other words, as Krishna said before, this is why Krishna said that mama maya durateya. That maya is inside us and we can't break through that. Impossible on our own to break through that maya and to realize his presence inside. It is impossible. And the same thing, maya tu prakritim vidyat, mayinam tu maheshwaram, shedashwadara upanishad. So, Ajarya Swamiji has quoted those two to explain to us what this kudastam means. Right? And and not only that, athava rashihi ivastidam kudastam ata eva achalam yasma dhruvam ityam ityartha, nityam ityartha. It does not move, it stays steady inside Andaryami. And it never gets destroyed either. And at the same time, and everything is covering him. Our avidya is covering him because it is with that we lost our connection with the Andaryami. And then we came into the body. Jiva comes and then the body came and we became the body. Identified with the body, right? So, Sanyamendriya Gramam Sarvatra Samabuddhaya, he said. So, here you can see this, that even though he is inside us, right, we never able to perceive him, his presence inside. We live in this body, thinking that this body is our identity, right? And it is that center where he is, which is called Hrit, Hriddeshe Arjuna Tishtadi. All that, yeah. That Hrit, what he's saying. That's his location. That's where he is. and the same thing will come in other forms, in the other Puranams also spoken. Because it's referring to Andaryami inside. Yadevi Sarvabhudeshu Dayarubena Samstida. Namastase, 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 namo nama. Right? She is referred to kodastam inside. Is referring to her then, Andaryami, as Andaryami. Right? Name and form we have given later. But pure consciousness, Andaryami inside, he has no form as such. Names and forms have come from the Agama Shastram later. Sarva Bhude Hide Radaha. He is the well-wisher of everybody. Everyone should be happy in this world, right? So it is that person who has come to that consciousness, to this realization, right? For example, such a person, generally an individual like that, is referred to as sannyasi, who has come to that level. Sannyasi, right? One who has got family, wife, children, then wealth, in this world, if you have gone beyond all these things, one who has come out of all these things, that means that he doesn't possess anything in this world. Doesn't have a family, doesn't have children, doesn't have... in other words, there is no connection anywhere anymore. Such a person is not considered to be an individual anymore. Personality has gone from him. Because he has transcended all that. The identification with family, children, wealth, home, nationality, all these barriers, he has gone beyond that. Right? And in other words, that person is closer to the realization of the Antaryami inside, of the self. Yeah. So what Krishna is talking about here is the symptoms of a person who is very close to the self-realization or who has understood the self properly. When we don't understand the self, we consider all the other things important. So here, that is what he is saying here. because he has transcended all these things, family life, money, and nationality, and all other kinds of connections with this world, he has gone beyond than that. Therefore, that is why he is saying here that te pratnu vandima meva sarva bhuta hite rataha sarvatra samabuddhaya. Right? Sanniyam mendrigyamam sarvatra samabuddhaya. Sarvatraga means that he is not anymore, he is not anymore a person. He has become a consciousness and he is not a limited thing anymore. And that is why it's Achindyam. That person, he was a person, but he is not a person anymore. Because he has come out of all these identifications. You see? When we are identifying with something, with the body, with family, with money, and so many other things, we are limited. This person, he is not identifying with his body either. His consciousness has gone so high that this world, he has no connection practically with anything. He is seeing this whole thing as nothing but Atma. He has come to that level. So, therefore, Achindyam. You cannot... Sarvatra Agama Chindyam Ja. He says, Achindyam. It's impossible to think about him because his state of consciousness is such. Right? And he has... he has reached that state when he is free from all the other things. Right? So, Kodasam. Kodasam means that in the middle of everything, he is perfect. In the middle of everything, he is perfect. All the other avidya, ajnanam, everything is outside. And jiva is also there. But Antaryami is perfect. In the perfect state, right? And eternal, right? So when a jiva has reached that state, or that kodastham, that state, then there is no jiva anymore. You can see that. Same thing with the sushupti, isn't it? Sushupti all goes away. So, you cannot say that once he has reached that state, you can't say that he was a jnani before, he is jnani now. That's not how it is. What it is he is realizing that that's him actually, Antaryami. He is not seeing that the older situation is not relevant anymore. Right? Knowledge what has come like that will never go. It will stay. Right? just like a child is learning music, right? And he has studied it well, and he sung well, then you go and don't ask the child, have you studied all the swaram properly? The Saptaswaram and all. There's no meaning to it in the same way, right? Similarly, one who has established in the self, Jnana Nishtha, Nishtha has come to him, and to ask him, oh, have you got control over your senses and all? It doesn't mean anything. Sanni Yamendriya Gramam, he says. Indriya Gramam. Indriya Gramam means the five senses, right? So, so Sarvatra Samabuddhaya, Te Pratnu Vandimamaiva Sarvabhuta Hiterata. He is always thinking about the welfare of everyone, all living beings in this world, right? So, they are the people who are, Krishna is saying that, engage in the Antaryami Upasana. Antaryami Upasana is there, they are connected with that, Antaryami Upasana, right? In other words, they are always experiencing Antaryami identification, relationship with them, right? Te Pratnu Vandimameva. So, last chapter, Krishna finished that. The last verse, Yasamamedi Pandava, he said. Isn't it? The last verse, in the last chapter, if you look, you will see Krishna saying there, Yasamamedi Pandava. And here Krishna is saying that, Te Pratnu Vandimameva. Yasamamedi Pandava, he said. Mal karmakrata mal paramo mal bhakta sangavarjidaha nurvaira sarvabhudeshu yasamamedi pandava, he said. And here Krishna is saying, te praptuvandi mameva mamedi pandava, he said. So they will come back to me. They will come back to me. So even though they are in the samsaram here, right, inside they have already left this world. Body is here. But inside their consciousness-wise, they are not in this world anymore, like everybody else is, right? And all what is happening is prarabdham to finish, right? And he has already decided that that's him, he's going there. He has made up that decision, right? So, because he knows, like the man who sat in the train, he knows that he will reach the destination. Because he's already inside the train, in the same way. That similar situation with him. Right? So, in their case, right, they are already in that state. That is why Acharya Swami says there is no need to discuss about them anymore. You see, because they are already there. They are already in the train. It's on their way. Right? And they are experiencing this Antaryami insight, the position, Antaryami realization, right? And so as far as they are concerned, they are on a different level compared to the first group, right? So Krishna is saying to Arjuna, these are, we are talking about those people who have already reached the goal. And he has already realized the self, and he has understood this world, the reality of this world, right? Ordinary people, when they ask, right, knowledge of the self and spiritual knowledge, they will say, you are seeing this world. And Jnani says, Atma is present everywhere, right? Avyaktam, Arjuna asked that question, isn't it? Right. So, avyaktam, or in other words, aparoksham. Already he is inside us, as Antaryami, right? And you are still saying it is avyaktam. Why is it avyaktam? When they asked the Ramana Maharshi answered it that way. He said, you keep saying avyaktam, avyaktam. For him, it is not avyaktam anymore. He is experiencing it inside very clearly, who he is, the Antaryami is, right? So for him, it's not avyaktam anymore. He says to the one of the devotees who asked him about it, he said, you saying avyaktam, avyaktam, why is it avyaktam? It's already there. So once you have reached that state, then for him, it says it's more direct for me than even the sun in the space, in the sky. Sun comes and disappears later on in the night. But this one is permanently there on the Yami. So he says, sun, if you want to see, you have to open the eyes and look at it. But this one, the presence inside me, even if I close my eyes, he is there. What to say, he said, he is there in the waking state, he is in the dream state, and even in the deep sleep state, he becomes more prominent than any other state. This is how he answered that. And that's a fact, isn't it? Theoretically for us, I'm saying. Yeah. Theoretically for us. It is a fact. He says, see how Maharshi sees that. Maharshi is saying, he's there in the vacant state. I'm seeing that. I'm seeing him in the dream state also, how he's doing things. But more than that, I see him more in the Sushupti, he said. Because that's where nobody else is there. Only he is there, nothing else. Right? So, and how is it possible to forget him? It's not possible, because only he exists, really, right? And doesn't have any covering anymore. So, and whereas, if you look through the eye can only see the body of other bodies also, right? And normally the jiva only knows the body and other bodies as well. Jiva has the connection like that, in that way, right? It has not gone beyond than that. What is possible? See, that's the problem with the jiva. Jiva situation is, jiva can only deal with objects which is present in the world outside, or even within this body. Within that, that's why it is in the jiva bhav. Jiva state is like that, right? And so, in other words, jiva is that state when it knows only the body, right? He has not gone beyond than that. He's not gone beyond than that. So, such a person who is in that state, he requires some medicine first to cross over, right? Otherwise, he won't be able to transcend this body and the mind and other things, because they are all the jiva's world. Subtle body and the gross body. That's the jiva's world and the senses and the world outside. This is where jiva is operating in that mandalam, in that phase, right? Antaryami's mandalam is different. Jiva's mandalam is different, right? So, that is why, because jiva cannot go to the other mandalam, Antaryami's mandalam, Krishna is saying to him that, he is coming to Arjuna's position, that those who are worshipping that Aksharam Brahma Paramam, Aksharam inside, right? You said Aksharam Avyaktam and all, which Arjuna used in the first verse. He says there, isn't it? Ejapi Aksharam Avyaktam, right? don't speak about it anymore. We will not talk about it. Krishna is saying to Arjuna, right? Because right at this moment, you are not qualified to talk about them, right? So leave that, he said to Arjuna, right? And I will tell you now about bhakti or upasana, what is required for you, and that is how this chapter begins. So you remember these three verses. First verse that Arjuna asked him, and how Krishna answered that, and how Krishna segregated them, saying that this is one group, that is another group, which is very rare ones, who have already liberated in this body itself. And they're already in their way to self-realized state. They're already in the realized state. And there is no point in comparing these two. So, it is the same problem we all have, right? For example, our mind is going everywhere, all over the world. And if somebody, when you tell them about Atma, you are blinking, what's this thing called Atma? We never heard of him, we say. Where is he? So it becomes like an imaginary thing in people's mind about the soul, I'm saying. Antaryami, in other words, right? So if you tell people there is Atma inside, you turn your attention inwards and all that, Andarmukham and all, They are saying, we can't understand what you are talking about. That's what people say like that, you know. You don't understand what you are saying. You turn your attention inwards, Antaryami is inside. It's not making any sense to them. Because the mind is in the world outside so much. Wrong, right? They give this example, right? You know, when you fry the mustard seed in the oil, when the temperature increases, it'll go away and all. Our mind is like that. Yeah. It's gone everywhere in the world, sorry. It's gone everywhere in the world. Now, if you go and look for the mustard seed where it's lying, especially in the kitchen when you start your apprenticeship, first time when you fry the mustard, in the oil it blasts off everywhere, right? And then you realize it, that the temperature was too high, you had to control the temperature and all that. You learn all these things later, right? The mind is like that. Mind has gone everywhere, like this mustard seeds is gone, right? And it is stuck in so many different places, like the mustard seed is. It's stuck in all these different types of places, right? And you can see that in our life also. We are trying to keep the family life going. That's not working. We keep the job going. That's also not working. And then we try to deal with the society or spiritual organizations. That's also not working. And the mind is messed up everywhere in this way, right? Some people, they don't even know what's going on at their house. They have come to that stage, right? And they have wandered around all over the world. And if you ask them where you come from, they don't know where they are from. Because they moved so far in so many places and in this way, right? So they don't know where their home is, in other words. Like we all. We don't know where our home. Somebody asks me, where are you from? You say, I'm here now. I'm here now. That's all I can say. But to tell someone, because every country you go, they keep poking you with your immigration and emigration and all that, passport and all that. So nobody is settled in any way. And this is a situation with everybody, right? Right. So only when you realize the self and when you get your spiritual identity, you are in the right place. Till then you are a migrant wherever you go. It will always be a migrant situation, right? Actually, and where is that location? Is this Hrit, heart, right? Not this mechanical, but the other one, right? Hrit, Hrit Deshe Arjuna Tishtadi. That Hrit Desham is our location, right? And that is our home, where we have come from, right? And even though it is there, so close by, the path or the distance is too far. Even though it is close to us, the distance to reach, the travel to travel is a lot, right? What is the reason? Reason for that is this chittam inside, right? And it has gone in the world outside. It jumped out of the home and it got stuck in the world outside, right? So initially, we have to bring that mind from the world to the body first, into the body first, right? And this is for this purpose only, karma kandam in the Vedam. It is for this purpose, to take us out from the world outside into, first of all, Krishna is Antaryami, is inside, deep inside, right? So, so that is why karma kandam, purpose of that is, to at least to bring us into the bodily level. To the bodily level, right? So, Akhandananda Saraswati used to say this, the way he put it was, right, at least you become a Nastik first. Astik we can talk about later. He says, at least you become a Nastik first, right? Becoming a yogi, Astik and all is much later. At least first you become a Charvaka, he says. Yeah, because if he is a Charvaka, at least Charvaka will be attached to the body. So he will be particular about eating on time, sleeping on time, and keeping the body in a good shape. This is all Charvaka's philosophy, isn't it? And Charvaka knows that, they know that the body has to stay fit and healthy for that. And they have their own understanding about that. They say, even if you borrow money, it doesn't matter. Buy ghee, and eat well. That's more important, right? So, if you don't have the money, you borrow, they say. And somebody will give you, if you ask from of your many friends, somebody will give you the money, right? And if you ask the money, and if he gives it to you, right, then some people, they won't go back to him again. They'll go from somebody else, they will borrow the money. This is all common in India. Here it is a little different. People borrow money always, right? So, so one person asked, borrowed money from someone. And then he didn't pay back. So he asked, you have not paid me back money what you asked last time. He said, so then this person asked him, do you believe in God? He said. He said, yes. Then he says, that if it is meant to come, it will come. After taking the money from him, he says to him, if it is meant to come, it will come to you, right? And if it is meant to come, Krishna will give it to me and I will give it to you, he said. And if it's not coming, it means it is not meant to come. That's the way. So, so such people are there. They are all this, but he looks after himself well. He takes money from others and lives well, right? And his approach is that there are many other people. If you don't want to give it to me, that's fine. I'll take it from somebody else. Right? That kind of people, right? And he won't ask second time to him. And therefore there is no complaint. And he will always ask small amounts, not big amounts. Because he won't want to hurt anybody. The other person will write it off. He says it's a small amount, forget it. Leave it behind. Right? So, so that's their way of doing with things, right? Charvagas are saying like that. Charvaga believes in that. Charvaga says that living in this world is more important, comfortably. That's more important than anything else, right? And so right now, maintaining this body is more important in their mind. God, liberation and all, we'll discuss later. They say like that, right? Initially, keep the body in a comfortable situation. So keeping this, in other words, their mind is more focused on the body than the success in the world outside. Some people, if you observe, they're very concerned about recognition in the world. Name and fame is important for them. So Akhandananda Saraswati's opinion is charvagas are better because at least he is looking after his body. At least the mind has come out of the world. The mind is in the world, then you want the recognition, name, fame, followers, money and everything. But once it has come towards the body, it is one step ahead, you come up, closer to the truth, right? Because you can see in people's life now, many people, they work so hard, so many hours, they're forced to, due to their prarabdha. They can't eat on time, they can't sleep on time, and they are traveling worldwide, so many different places, here, there, everywhere, and things like that, right? And basically, no life, strictly speaking, there is no life. There can't be any culture in that situation, right? No family life also gets very disturbed, right? So, so better than that is that if you can come to at least a bodily level, there is little bit more stability than compared to living all over the world in that way, right? So first you come to the body and then you open that door of the body, right, inside. And then you start realizing that you inquired about this truth all over the world in different places, right? Ultimately, you realize that he is inside you as Antaryami there. But to open the door inside, we have to know how to do that, is it not? Right? Because inside is full of darkness. And these five senses, senses of knowledge, that has taken us to the world outside so much, right? And unless they are shut down, this won't happen. Otherwise, these five senses will control us, take us outside, right? Once that light is shut off, then we will, the light on inside will open up, right? So, turning these five senses, you remember this discussion between Nachiketas and Yama is about this, right? Yama says to him, right, after that what do? The love of these senses is to go in the wander in the world outside, right? So, in somehow or the other, if the mind is able to focus on something sattvam, sattvagunam, and the Shraddha goes there, and in some form inside, right, it goes, Shraddha goes inwards in such a way, there are Shraddha goes inwards with some form along with it, right? So that is this Devata form worship. Antaryami is some form you are accepting, like Kapila Maharshi's teachings to Devahuti will say the same thing. Right. Or other, what they call Ishta Devada forms, whatever they have, Ramachandra's form, Shiva's form, Sri Parvati's form, various forms, right? Devi's forms, all that. So, but the mind becomes fixed there, in that form, as Antaryami inside, right? And that is, then Krishna mentions that, the in the historically it was Agni Upasana. Devata form came later. Traditionally, in the Vedic times, it was Agni, Agni Upasana. Right? So, Mal Karma Krit, Krishna said, that in order to do that, some karmam, special karmams, right, puja and other things, and more centered then inside, and without depending on anything else outside, and not giving attention to anything, at the same time, he is not hating anybody outside or hating any other processes. Nirvaira sarvabhudeshu, Krishna said, if you do like that, continue that way, that upasana murti, that form, gradually it will build up in your manomandalam, in the field of the mind. It becomes strong, right? So that is how the Antaryami in a particular form has come into the Manomandalam. Yeah. So when it comes to that Manomandalam, in the Manomandalam also all these senses are present, right? Five senses of knowledge, they are present there. And there the Upasana has begun in the Manomandalam. The Upasana begins there, right? So, we will have a short break. Cheto darpanam arjanam vaumaha davagni nirvapanam shreyakaidava chandriya vidharanam vidyavadhu jivanam anandam budhivardhanam purnamrudaswadhanam sarvapna subhanam varam vijayde shri krishna sangirtanam namnamakari bahuda nija sarva shakti Tatrarpida nimida smaranena kala Edadrishi tavakriba bhagavan mamabi Durvayvami rishamiha jani nanuragaham Trinarabi shunichena tarorabi sahishnuna Amalina manadena kirtaniya sadahari Nathanam najanam nasundarim Ramva jagadishakamai Mama janmani janmani shwari bhavadal bhakti rahaita vittvayi Ayi nandatanuja kingaram patitamam shame bhavam bhudau Kripaya tavapada pangajastita duli sadrasham visindaya Nayanam galada shodharaya vadanam gadgadarudhaya hira Tulagair nichitam kadava bhuttavan namagrahane bhavishyari Yugaidam nimeshena chakshusha pravishahidam Shunyahidam jagal sarvam govinda virahename Aslishyava padaradam pinashtumam Adarshanam marmahadam karotuva Yathatadava vidadadulam madu Malprananatha sunayevana para Sarvatra govinda nama sankirtanam Govinda govinda Mayaveshyamano yemam Nityayuktam upasade Shraddhaya parayobedasteme yuktadamamata Yetvaksharamanirdesham avyaktam pariupasade സർവത്രകമചിന്യം ച കൂടസ്ഥം അചലം ധ്രുവം സന്നിയമ്യേന്ദ്രിയഗ്രാമം സർവത്ര സമബുദ്ധയ തേ പ്രാപ്നുവന്തി മാമേവ സർവഭൂതഹിതേ രതാഹ. സോ ഉപാസന ഈസ് ഇൻ ദി മനോമണ്ഡലം, isn't it? Which is a very powerful, that is proper upasana in the mind. It begins with that mind, manomandalam. One devotee, he studied Vedam very well, especially the a Brahmana who knew the Agama Shastram very well. He studied the Agama Shastram. And he used to go for Kumbhabhishekam in different temples, right? And because he has become an expert at it for years and years after studying the Agama Shastram, especially in Tamil Nadu, temple construction was always going on somewhere or the other. And he will go everywhere. And for all these Kumbhabhishekam, he will be doing, you are one of the main participants. Because he studied the Agama very well. Right? Afterwards, he felt that I couldn't do anything on my own. He has done it for so many temples in so many places. But he's a devotee, so therefore his mind is absorbed in this. And he felt the necessity, he felt himself that I haven't done on my own something in this way. So, therefore, he decided that he wanted to build a temple himself and wanted to install the deity there. And based on the Agama Shastram, what he has studied, right? So, naturally, he didn't have much money to do all that. So, obviously, he has to do the fundraising as well. He has to go. And he asked many people for money to support. But he didn't get much money. It was not enough. A little bit some people gave, but most of the people said to him that you have done this whole life, now why you want to build a temple? They didn't show much support for him. Right? So many, many years he tried this. It didn't happen. He couldn't raise the funds for that. Right? So ultimately he decided like that, I can't do it anymore, it's not possible. Therefore, he decided to build a temple inside him, in the mind. Mm-hmm. And if he is doing it, why not do it in a big way? After all, it's going to be done inside, right? So, what he did was, he sat down, closed his eyes, and started imagining building the temple inside. And in the manomandalam, in the field of mind, right? So, this Agama Shastram is also quite complex, it is, right? There's a lot to think about. I mean, experienced people are very few, I believe, nowadays. I don't know, because that society is not there anymore. The great personalities were there, right? And even the soil, what you choose for the construction of the temple, has to have a particular smell. Even to such a depth, they have involvement, right? And the place has to be very, spiritually potent, vibrant place, right? There has to be a river nearby. And similarly, when you take the soil from that earth and put it into your mouth, the 6 different tastes has to be there for the soil. Like that, too much into details. And nowadays, all this is out of question, right? But he knew all the shastrams so well. And if you inquire for a place like that outside, you won't find one now anymore. It has become difficult, right? So what he decided, he found a place like that inside. And then he performed the Bhumi Puja, worship of the land, everything, right? And he was raised enough funds to pay for everyone who is going. This is all inside going on to construct this temple, right? And he built the foundation, he built the temple tank for people to bathe. And this is all sankalpam in his mind, he is doing this, right? He dug the well land and found the water. He was happy about that. So this was his meditation all the time of building this temple inside, right? And all at different stages, there is a lot of rituals associated at all these construction of the temple. At different stages, different rituals involved, which he did. And then you have to eradicate all the evil forces that is present in that area before you install the deity. So there are rituals associated with that. He did that as well, right? And then he started the construction of the temple. These are all preparation before construction. And then now the construction he has started, right? All his senses he has drawn inwards to help the construction process, right? And all his eyes is on the construction work, and also bring the different materials for the construction. Different pillars has to be carved at different places, and that will be brought in. You know how it is, all ancient temples, how they were built, right? And then managing the workers who are doing the work, right? So in that process, all his senses are inwards, busy with the different things. That means the absorption is so strong inside. In Manomandalam, he is doing this, all this, right? And all his 10 senses are inside him, right? And when we do things like that, we are building one body inside to do that work, right? All our senses are busy with that. And similarly, he developed a body inside, particular body inside for this, right? And Bhavana Shariram it is called. Bhavam it is. Bhavamayam, right? And with that construction inside going on in his Manomandalam, but it itself is a body itself, it's grown like that, right? And then construction was completed inside, right? And then he decided date for Kumbhabhishekam. For this temple, when it is built completely, the Kumbhabhishekam happens, and that day great personalities come, and they will go into the top of the Gopuram, and they do so many ceremonies involved with all that, right? So he consulted the astrologers, because they have to be consulted, they have to decide the date when it is appropriate for that. So all these discussions he had, it is all inside, all this, you know, very elaborately he is doing it. And on a good day he decided everything, and the time was fixed when it is going to be installation happening, right? This happened in a place not very far from Kanchipuram. Kanchipuram, there is a famous temple, Kailasnath temple. Pallavas were ruling that time. Pallava dynasty were ruling that time. So Kailasnath temple renovation happened, and the king, Pallava king, you know, the Cheras, the Cholas, the Pandyas, the Pallava, they are all the famous dynasties there. So the Pallava king decided to have Kumbhabhishekam for the Kailasnath temple, Shiva's temple. And that same day, it so happened, that person also in his Manomandalam, the temple he has built, his Kumbhabhishekam also was decided. On the same day, same Muhurtam. Astrologers have given the same time to both of them. They didn't know this. Astrologers didn't know. But that person, who this devotee who was building his temple in the mind, he has decided the date after consulting his astrologers. The king has decided the date after consulting his astrologers in Kanchipuram. Right. So Lord Shiva, he decided that this devotee, he was so pleased with him that he decided that he will go for Kumbhabhishekam of this devotee's temple, which is built inside the mind, right? So Shiva wanted the world to know how great that devotee is, to make glorify him, right? And what he did was, in a dream, he went to the Pallava king and told him that I won't be able to come for the Kumbhabhishekam. This is all happening in the dream to the Pallava king. I have to go for another Kumbhabhishekam of a devotee. He has built another big temple. I'm going for that, he said. So Pallava king has never heard about that temple because it's all built inside the mind. So Pallava king wanted to know, who is this devotee that was built a temple and Lord Shiva wants to go for the Kumbhabhishekam there? He was actually in a shock to hear this. It's all in the dream, this is happening. So when he woke up, Lord Shiva has spoken to him very clearly which village it is, where the temple is and everything. So king thought that I should go and find out where it is. So he decided to go there to inquire about it, right? And after, this is all happened in the dream, you see. So when he got there and he inquired about the brahmanas who were present in that village, little village, right? And when he inquired, nobody knows about a temple like that because this was all inside his mind. Everything was done. Other brahmanas in the village, they all knew about this brahmana who goes for all the Kumbhabhishekam in other temples. But they never knew that he was building a temple of his own. They never heard about all these things, right? They said, told him that there is no temple built here. So the king was confused. Lord Shiva told him clearly, even the name was given to him. This is the devotee who is building the temple. So king told the name of the devotee to the brahmanas there. And the brahmana said, he is like us. He builds, he goes for Kumbhabhishekam everywhere. But he has not built any temple, they said. Anyway, they brought him to him. And they had a discussion between the king and this brahmana together, right? So the king was absolutely confirmed that he is building the temple. So out of his pressure, the king's pressure, the brahmanas in the village brought him to this devotee, right? And all the Vedic brahmanas, they are all followers of the Vedam. Vaidika brahmanas they are, right? And they so told the king that we are not aware of any of these things. Nobody has invited us. And we also are not conscious of any new temple built in this area at this time. So, the king asked about this devotee using the plural language instead of singular, the respectful way of addressing someone in a plural form, right? So, but those brahmanas were not thinking of him in that way, to the extent that the king was glorifying. So they answered that in a way which was in the normal way when you do a conversation, right? They told him that he has been after us for a long time now, saying that he wants to build a temple and he was trying to raise funds for that, right? But who can give so much money to build a temple like the way he was planning to do? And therefore it was never happened, they said to him like that. Nobody gave him much money and he couldn't do it either, right? And apart from that, the brahmanas are generally poor, is it not? In the villages, in them days, it was like that. They were not fond of money and money was not important for them. For them, their sadhana, sandhyavandanam, anushtanam, that's more important for them. These things, as long as they can get some food to eat, they're satisfied with that. More than that, they didn't have any desire. So, anyway, our king wanted to meet him and talk to him. What's this all about? Because Lord Shiva told me very clearly in the dream that he cannot come. He's going for this Kumbhabhishekam. And everybody says there is no temple here. What's this whole thing? He wanted to understand, right? So he went there and met this devotee, brahmana, and offered obeisances to him and told him that, have you decided your Kumbhabhishekam for the temple on such and such a date? He says, brahmana got a shock. How did the king come to know about it? Because this whole thing is inside the mind, what's happening. So he says to him, that nobody knew about this. So that's what Brahmana thought like that, right? But he understood that Lord Shiva has known this, what I had been doing all these months, right? And he has deliberately sent him here for that. And to make understand that what is done inside is more valuable than what is done outside. This is a fact of life, right? You can see so many temples you can build in this world, but they will stay some time, but then they will go. The problem is that with these outside activities, any temples you build here, one invasion may come, or other people who don't like your samskaram or culture, they'll come and bulldoze it. If it doesn't happen, economic development, building motorways and airports and all will come, and the temples will lose its purity, the location. That is the problem with the outside world. Anything that is done outside is like that. Some natural forces will come like that. Either in the earthquake can happen. Things, so many things can happen. So even if you do a nice temple outside, the difficulty is this, that on a long term, it will be difficult to maintain that, right? So, that is why more going inwards is more precious. Its value is more than anything done outside. Spiritually, I'm saying. Spiritually, what is done inside is more valuable than what is done outside. Outside, you are doing it because of our karma vasana in us. And due to various other reasons, right? More important than that is, so the devotee said to the king, nobody knows about the temple I am building. How did you get to know about it? He said to him. So the king said to him that I had a dream. Kailasanam temple in Kanchipuram is going to have Kumbhabhishekam. I have decided the date. And everything was going very smoothly. And in the dream, Lord Shiva has told me this, that he won't be able to come. He's busy with your temple. He said, this is why I had come to see that temple, what you are building. He said to him like that, right? So this thing is teaching us, to tell us that Manomandalam, see, Annamayam is outside. Outside is Annamayam. Once you go one step further, is Pranamayam. If you go another step further, is Manomayam. In the Yoga Shastram, it is like that. Annamayam, Pranamayam, Manomayam, Vijnanamayam, Anandamayam. Right? So, knowledge and self-realization is Vijnanamayam and Anandamayam, realized state, which is the innermost part. The most gross side is the Annamayam, when you start from the outside. Right? So, everything what was required for the worship, installation of the deity, construction of the temple, all the articles necessary for the worship is all inside him. This Brahmana's case, right? So, Manasa Puja, it's called Manasa Puja, right? Through Sangalpam, Sangalpena Maya Virajidam Pujam Grahana Prabho. In Sangalpam, how puja is done inside. So this Sangalpam Upasana Mandalam, if you can bring that Sangalpam into Upasana Mandalam, which is Bhavana Mandalam or Mano Mandalam, that is that Mandalam inside, right? So in order to do that, first thing what you require is that Bhavana inside. The power of Bhavana. If you don't have the bhavam inside, that temple cannot be built. Do you understand? You need that bhavam inside first, bhakti inside, to do that. Brahmana had that. This Brahmana had that. So he was able to do that, right? So you will see there, Krishna says in the second chapter, how powerful that bhavana is, right? If you look into the second chapter, 66th verse. Nasti buddhir ayuktasya न जायुक्तस्य भावना न चा भावयद शांति अशांतस्य कुतः सुखम. देयर इटसेल्फ कृष्णा इज हिट विद द हैमर ऑन आवर माइंड राइट. विदाउट भावना दिस वोंट हैपन. या नास्ति बुद्धिरयुक्तस्य न जायुक्तस्य भावना न चा भावयद शांति अशांतस्य कुतः सुखम. सो फर्स्ट ऑफ ऑल माइंड हैज टू कम अंडर कंट्रोल. Without that, knowledge of the self won't happen. And one who cannot control the mind, it's very difficult for him to get attached to the tattvam inside. Right? And one who does not have that, he says, the shanti won't be there. And once you don't have shanti inside, what kind of happiness can he have? That's what it means. He's saying that. So, Bhavana Mandalam is very important. What is in Bhavana Mandalam is what you are actually doing here in the world, right? So, Bhavana Mandalam is this Mandalam of the mind, Manu Mandalam, right? So, he built this temple in this Bhavana Mandalam. His temple has been built, right? And the mind will is favorable for him to do that. It's not done forcefully. It's because the bhavam has come inside. Right? And so this is the principle of upasana. All bhakti upasana is based on this. Right? So every sadhana process, if it is not building up a bhavana mandalam, that sadhana is not working for you. We have to understand that way. Suppose you do sadhana in a mechanical way whole life, but bhavam is not building up inside, then that sadhana, what use is it? You see that? So, in order to teach us that bhavamandalam is more important, this bhakti bhavam comes in the mind, manomandalam, it happens, isn't it? You are crossing all the obstacles caused by the body through Karma Yoga. Karma Yoga is for that. To all the difficulties what you are facing in your spiritual life, through karma, which is done through the body. That means the body creates problem for us in the form of karma in making progress in spiritual path. So that problems what body creates is you are crossing over that through Karma Yoga. That's what it is. Karma Yoga and the body are connected to each other. All the problems that's created by the mind, you are crossing that with bhakti in the manomandalam, getting out of the problems of the subtle body. Only after that you can enter into the higher one called vijnana mandalam. Vijnana, you see, remember that and pranam, vijnanamayam yoga. So, only at that time, the knowledge of the self and self-realization will all become some factual thing for us. Factual experience. Till then, it's all studying theory from outside. You see? We're studying the theory from outside, but factually nothing. So, when does it become factual? At this stage. Through Karma Yoga, you have to cross through the gross body's problem. Through Bhakti Yogam, you have to cross through the problems of the subtle body. When both these two bodies are gone, you've gone beyond them that, transcended them, then you become eligible for Vijnana Mayam. And that is the time when knowledge of the self becomes a reality for us. Till then it is not. It's just a theory only. So, when all the senses are busy with the service in the absorption inside, right? When that happens, the senses tendency for going to sense objects will go. It won't be attracted to sense objects anymore. Right? And what you will find then is the senses in our gross body is like houses where there is no one living there. Empty houses. All senses become like that. Now all the senses are very active, very busy with the world outside. But once it has come out from that, these senses becomes very empty houses like, right? So, and therefore, this mind won't have any more interest to go into the world outside through that, right? And Vyavaharam will come down. Vyavaharam will change, right? So, this devotee's case, he has developed that bhava-mandalam inside over years of different spiritual activities, what he was doing, right? So, so some people, you will see, observe them, they performed worship at home, and different sadhanas they performed. Some people circumambulate, go on a pilgrimage, circumambulate hills in Govardhanam, Arunachalam, and all they do, right? So, as I mentioned before, there was one devotee from Palakkad, Kunju Swami, mentioned Maharshi's devotee, right? This Kunju Swami became very old. He was 93 years old. At that time, he couldn't go anywhere, do anything. He did this, stayed home and spent whole time in this Manomandalam, bhakti, right? So, mind is also, like the body, it's an instrument, what we have got, you see? Mind is also like an instrument, right? And to use this instrument properly, you require some skill. How to use this instrument called the mind, right? There's a book called Panchadashi, Vidyarani Swamiji's book, famous book it is, right? He says there, sometimes, in the Panchadashi, he says this, that even after self-realization, mind has got a tendency to go back to that Upasana Murti, what you have worshipped whole life, right? And if he wants to do that, allow the mind to do so. It was not going to do any harm, right? And so in this way, if you look at great personalities, Vidyarani Swamiji was very famous, right? And he was so famous in his time. And Panchadashi also, if you read Panchadashi, it is such an interesting text, right? So what you are actually doing there is that instead of allowing the mind to go into the world and to engage in rubbish, right, or field of sense objects, sense enjoyment, right, you are creating a field inside for the mind to absorb, Manomandalam, right. He is preparing that, the devotee does that, right. And this world is alaukikam, not the world outside. Another world separate from the world outside, right? All human beings, we have this power of bhavana. Bhavana nature we have. We have the capacity to create that bhavana inside, right? And depending on what you supply into your mind, accordingly it will create the bhavana inside. What you supply to the mind, and then the mind will build up a bhavana around that, right? Sometimes you can see, that is why we are warned all the time, cinema, serial, newspaper, media, TV, mobile phone, all these things are, in a subtle level, creating the bhavana mandalam inside us. That's a fact. We all have that, isn't it? Right. And because this bhavana power we have, in order to fill that bhavana mandalam, we have created all these things. Otherwise we will get bored. When the bhavana mandalam is not busy, you get completely frustrated with life. So what they have done is, they created what they call this entertainment industry. Cinema, serial, and television, mobiles, reels, Google, Facebook, YouTube, endlessly. What else are they doing? If you ask me, what else are they doing? Keeps you busy with their mind, basically. So that's that. But what Krishna is saying is this. You can see there, he mentioned that te deva bhavayandva, that bhavana is so important. If what is in that field, that will be your end. That's where you will end up at the end. What is in that manomandalam, bhavamandalam, what you have done, right? For example, children will ask this question. Mahabharata war, right? You see the rishi's way of thinking. If you understand this, you will see the gravity of the situation, right? Mahabharata Yuddham, big war happened, right? And if you read Mahabharata, you get disturbed. Why do I have to read all this, all the murder, killing, everything happened, right? And do you think Vedavyasa Maharshi does not know that? What impact it will have on people, right? But you saw that in the middle of all that battle, Mahabharata, Krishna is there to show to us how one should be in the world. Yeah, Arjuna was there, Bhishma was there, and so many great personalities like him. Arjuna, Bhishma, Krishna, all of them are in the middle of this Mahabharata war, presented in the Mahabharata, right? That means, in the middle of violence, so many divine bhavam also. Krishna was a divine form, divine bhavam. Bhishma was a divine form, isn't it? The way he spoke. Similarly, Arjuna also. So all these divine personalities is in the middle of a battlefield where there is so much violence. Mahabharata war, right? So, if that violence is not there, normally we like to go, we see, for example, the films and all that. Mostly it is violence, isn't it? And that's what keeps people happy. They like to see that violence. And then they'll not have, they won't get sleep, and then they'll go again next day. So they don't get sleep next day also. So this way, day after day, they'll go and see the same violence, and it's giving them some kind of a thrill inside, right? So, Mahabharata, why it is presented like that? If you think about it, what's the reason Vedavyas presented in the way he has done that, right? Mahabharata has got this violence, right? And Mahabharata has got all these great personalities also. And he says that if you feel that violence is disturbing you, come to Bhagavadam. Come to Bhagavadam, he said, right? So, Bhagavadam is more sattvikam compared to Bharatam. Mahabharatam, compared to Mahabharatam, Srimad Bhagavatam is more sattvikam, right? So, it is for this reason that the rishis have brought those personalities into our bhavana mandalam through their tapas. Through their tapas, right? It is not through their sankalpam or imagination they have done that. Through their tapas, they created this bhavana mandalam inside. They created this bhavana mandalam inside, right? If you understand what the rishis have done, and if you are able to stay in their way and look at it, right, then your mind won't have any problem. Do you understand what I'm saying? That means, if you are able to see what Drona, what Arjuna, what Krishna was presenting there, themselves, in the middle of all these complicated situations, if you are able to understand why rishis put them there in the Mahabharata, then you will know that the power of bhavana inside, that if they influence you in your life, how they conducted their life in the middle of all the problems, and how they showed us to the world that this is the right thing to do, and if that influence comes to you, you will also escape. Provided they have to influence you to that extent. And that is how they wrote all this literature. Mahabharatam was not written with sufficient thoughts behind it, right? That somehow or the other, in the middle of, if you look at that Mahabharatam scene, it is very disturbing. Between Kauravas and the Pandavas, what was going on, the hate they have developed each other, and the way Duryodhana was going on with his rant all the time against the Pandavas. And it has come to a situation impossible for Vedavyas to bring them together. Because he was the head of the, it is his children, isn't it? Dhritarashtra, Vidura, and Pandava, Pandu, and all that. This is a family problem which Vedavyas could not find a solution otherwise. He put everything into Mahabharatam and told us, this is the story. He said, Krishna was there, Arjuna was there, and Bhishma was there. All these great personalities, so many others also. And with all that complicated situation, they stuck to their position. That knowledge of the self. It kept Bhishma going, it kept Arjuna going, it kept Krishna going. This is the reason why Mahabharatam has a big message to tell us. You have to see Mahabharatam from the Rishi's point of view, how they presented it, to make us aware that no matter what goes on in this world, the knowledge of the self and acting on the platform of the self, spiritual platform, is the right thing to do. And that conviction, what Bhishma has shown, what Arjuna followed, and what Krishna has spoken, is all a pointer to that, to teach us that lesson. So, similarly, so that means that in Bhavana Mandalam, what you create is so important. It's no use becoming a machine-like thing. All the time, people giving you, do this, say this, and you're just doing it, what you're told. That's going to be a long journey, right? But proper way of changing ourselves is in the way it is spoken, right? So similarly with the mind, if you do a pilgrimage, for example, going to the holy places, right? Similarly, visiting famous temples, and also meeting up with great personalities. All these things, if you do it on the platform of the mind, it's more effective than if you do it with the body. Body, if you may go to all these places, and you'll be busy with booking the hotels, traveling, finding the taxi, and going to the temples, and seeing the pujari, and somebody will say to you something, you'll hear all that, then you booked your return flight, you come back, and you feel that I have done my bit. That is not effective. That Tirthayatra. This is why Tirthayatra, you remember that verse? Tirthayatra is Adhamo Adhamo. Lower than the lower cities. Tirthayatra. Yeah? So, faith in the Shastram is more important than all the Tirthayatra. And similarly, Salsangam is more important. Discussion of the Shastram is more important than Tirthayatra. You can see yourself. You do Tirthayatra and come back and see how much spiritually you really got the benefit from that. Most of us come back and say, oh, that's got it done now. Finished with it. That's the way you come out from that. Isn't it? On the other hand, discussing Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavadam, the effect of that in you, anyone for that matter, is more deeper than what you will find from a Tirthayatra. And if that is not possible, the next option is that you do your upasana home, if that's not possible. The best is that what Shastram says so, that discussion of the Shastram and absorbing from that. Yeah. So, if we enter into this Manomandalam gradually, if you enter into that, now Krishna knows this won't happen in one day. And this is the reason why he said, Shanai Shanai Uparamet. Because people think that they can just do it in one day, everything will work out. It won't happen. This is the reason why he said that, Shanai Shanai Uparamet. Actually, you should say to people, take it seriously and do it quicker. Whereas in spiritual life, Krishna is saying to us, do it slowly. Don't rush. Because he knows this process takes time. It cannot be done in one day. This is a gradual building up inside. Bhakti is such a thing that it takes time to build it up. This Manomandalam to build up. In order to build it up, other things have to leave from inside. Other rubbish, all what we have collected inside. Right? So, ultimately he's saying here that the he mentions that this worship becomes intense inside. Upasya Devada comes. That is at a much later date. Beginning it won't come. Beginning it begins like this Brahmana's case what we spoke. He's building the temple and it comes up like that. Right? So, and when this Upasya Devada comes, whatever form that is, Narasimham, Krishna, Ramachandra, Shiva, Sri Parvati, whomever it may be, that form what you have been, oh, that is your Upasya Devada. Then Devada comes and then finally it disappears. And it is at that time what Krishna is saying there. Yetvakshara manirdesham avyaktam parivasade sarvatragama chindyam cha kutastam machalam dhruvam. See, these verses are very subtle verses, right? It involves so much in that. Unless you put your mind into it and start thinking, you won't probably get the message clearly, right? Krishna is saying, at that moment, realization will be there of Antaryami. Kutastham achalam dhruvam yetvaksharam anirdesham avyaktam parivasade sarvatragama chindyam cha kutastham achalam dhruvam. That will happen at that time, right? So, so, at that moment, even if the mind has not completely gone into the Antaryami and entered into the Antaryami, right? At least what it does is, it will lift your mind to a large extent from the place where it was before. It would have brought up a long way from there and lifted it up to a very higher level, right? And therefore, in order for that to happen, you have to give that input into the mind to come out from its present state to the state which is closer to the Antaryami state, right? So, and all the other things what we do, Japam, Dhyanam, it's all to build this Manomandalam stronger, right? And normally our mind is in two gunam, rajogunam, tamogunam, right? So this, what it does is, it gradually brings you into sattogunam. Gradually brings you to sattogunam. So this is the symptom of that. If the manomandalam is growing, it means sattogunam is building up. If manomandalam or bhavana mandalam is full of the matters related to self-realization, Antaryami, that means it is gradually disconnecting from the world outside, right? So, that is the process with the mind, right? And if you go on like that, gradually what happens is, initially, bodily identity was strong. Body identity. From that bodily identification, you will start coming into the identification with the mind. Identification to the mind. Sharira mandalam, you leave and you come to the mano mandalam. That is what will happen. And this mano mandalam is the upasana mandalam. All the upasana is supposed to happen in the mano mandalam, right? And from the, after that, from upasana mandalam, you come to the field of jnana mandalam, proper spiritual knowledge. Up to that time, spiritual knowledge remains as a unknown thing for us, isn't it? We are saying, Atma is there. So many things about Atma we are discussing.
But we still have thinking, where is this Atma? Who is this Atma? What it is, right? So in order to transfer ourselves from that bodily world to the bodily mandalam, and from the bodily mandalam to the manomandalam, it is for that transfer, in order to make that happen, is this chapter. And that's why this is called Upasana Adhyayam. Upasana chapter, it's called. Bhakti Yogam, it says, at the end, Bhakti means Upasana. That means the process of Upasana by which you lift yourself from the world into the body and from body into the mind. So this process, normally we are in the bodily level, but from elevate to lift ourselves on the bodily level to the manomandala. And that Upasana, right? So this is the adhyayam or chapter for about bhakti. And lot of things Krishna will say about it at the end, right? So what Krishna says there is that if those things what he has spoken there, what Krishna is going to talk about, if those things are coming in you, then you can say that your upasana is working properly. Or you can say that your upasana is in the right place. Right? It is like this. A very ripened fruit, if you take the juice out from that, it will be very tasty, isn't it? Then you can say that the mangoes you have used were ripe. Right? If you take a green mango, which is very unripened stage, and if you take the juice out of it, there won't be any taste. It will be very bitter, isn't it? So the fruit has to become ripe in order to enjoy the taste of that fruit, right? Or to know that you are ripe, actually. Similarly, bhakti is like that. If bhakti is there in a person or not, when do you know? When you see these changes happening in a person, right? So, what Krishna has done here is, in this chapter, before he talking about upasana process, right? One thing he said, to know this soul, Antaryami, inside, it is very difficult when one is identifying with the body. That is the next verse. You see that? Krishna begins like that. So as long as your bodily identity is strong, it's very difficult to know the Antaryami inside, right? Or to know Atma, which is Avyaktam. Look at the next verse. Klesho adhikatarastesham avyakta asakta chetasam avyakta hi gadir dukkham deha vadbhiravapyate. You see what Krishna says? Yeah? So, in the last verse, in the fourth verse, Krishna said that one who controls the senses and becomes free from liking and disliking, all these things, one has become free from that, he will come to me, Krishna said, right? Some things what Krishna is saying, we won't understand it first, what he means by this, right? For example, Bhagavatam if you take, this is the difficulty for us, or everybody has this problem. Krishna is saying so many things, vidhi nishedam, right? Do's and don'ts. You should do this, you shouldn't do this. And similarly, gunam dosham, good and bad. He says so many things. This is good, this is bad. This is good, this is bad. There's one whole chapter about that, gunam dosham. And at the end he is saying, this gunam dosham is all dosham, he says. And one who knows that gunadosham has no meaning, is gunam, he's saying. Gunadosha drishir dosham, gunastu ubhaya varjidam. That's how he puts it. Gunadosham drishir dosham. To see gunam dosham itself, initially he said you have to find gunam and leave the dosham. After saying all that, finally he says, seeing gunam dosham itself is dosham. How did you figure out that? This is how it is. Yeah? The spiritual life is like that. At one stage, you have to find gunam dosham. at some another stage, you have to give up this gunam dosham completely. Goes away from you. Guna dosham, drishir dosham, both are dosham. Gunam su ubhaya varjidaha. Giving up both is gunam, Krishna says. So these are all stages in spiritual life. You can't apply that straight away for a newcomer in spiritual life. When you come to Adhyatmam first time, you can't take that approach. Guna dosham, no. He has to follow gunam dosham. But there is some stage in life when you give up guna dosham. Because guna dosham itself is dosham, he's saying. So it is not simple as we think it is, because we are used to straightforward answer. That is the problem. And everything Krishna talks like this. One will say, he'll say one thing in one place, another thing in another place, and then we are confused completely. We are completely confused. So bringing Bhagavad Gita into life takes a lot of understanding, thinking about it, what makes sense to us, and what stage what applies to anyone in that way. As I said this morning, that the soldier, if you tell him to follow sattvic food, it won't work. He cannot do it because he is fighting the battle. He needs his diet, what keeps him in rajogunam strongly. Only then he can fight. If you put him in a sattvic mood, what will happen? What will be the, there will be no war then, isn't it? He will say, you can have all the land. I'm not interested, he will say, he'll walk out. If you get a soldier like that, what use is there? The soldier needs rajogunam. Soldier needs to fight. So he needs a diet for that. So when Krishna is talking about diet, of sattvic diet, it's only meant only for people who are very serious in spiritual life. It's only for them, Krishna is saying, not for anyone else in the world. And that's only a very small amount of people. This understanding has to come. Like there are many people, business people for example, they're traveling all over the world for different meetings, businesses, this, that and the other. Or people who are working in the factory morning to night, busy with their occupations, different kinds of occupations. They're all very busy with their life, is it not? And you tell them that this is the sattvic diet, you should follow this. It is not possible. It's not possible and it's not fair on them. They are not in spiritual life, you see. They are living their materialistic life, whatever life they are living. And to force them to accept all. So what I'm saying is that in many chapters in the Bhagavad Gita, when you read the instructions, you should know for whom it's meant. Without knowing that, simply saying, reading Bhagavad Gita and telling the whole world, you should do this, you should do this, it won't work. It simply won't work. It's not possible also. So, Shraddhatraya Vibhagam, Gunatraya Vibhaga Yogam, all these chapters are people who have come to spiritual life and they have practically lost interest in this world and taken spiritual life as the only goal of life, nothing else. Who have come to that situation, it's for them. It's for them. So that's the way to see it. And you can't force others who are not in spiritual life, who are not in the Adhyatma Vidya, who have not even understood the soul, who have not even accepted there is a spiritual life, and you are telling them you give up this, you give up that and all, it won't be practical. It won't have any effect on them. It will be like our New Year resolution. They will take it in the beginning on the morning, on the 1st of January. By evening it will break, it will go. So only in spiritual life, Adhyalpa Vidya, those who have come to spiritual way of life and spiritual realization as the goal, as the only goal in life, it is for them all these instructions are, all these different explanations to it, right? So Krishna says here that Arjuna, in the same way, Klesho Adhikatarastesham, Avyaktasakta Chedasam, Avyaktahi Gedur Dukkham, Dehavadbhiravapyade. If you are on the bodily identity strongly, the Andaryami Upasana is difficult. That's all. That's what Krishna is saying. It is difficult. If you are very strongly grounded in the body and bodily identity, for them, the Andaryami Upasana is going to be very difficult. That's all what he is saying there. Right? Klesho Adhikatarastesham. So he says here, Klesham Adhikataram. Yeah. यद्यपि मल कर्मादि पराणाम क्लेशः अद्य एवः अक्षरात्मनाम परमार्थ दर्शिनाम देहाभिमान परित्याग निमित्तः अव्यक्तासक्त चेतसाम even those who are engaged in karmam for me, Krishna says, this avyaktam is difficult. Right? And when this realization happens, that means that their deha buddhi has gone. Yeah. So avyaktam. Avyaktam is this Andaryami Upasana, right? So, when this bodily identity is there, the difficulty in spiritual life is that when you become more subtle side of the spiritual side, when you start going in there, that's when you see the obstacles, what has to be to surmount them, becomes more. We realize that, how difficult it is, right? So when you are identifying with the body, what Krishna says is, if you tell him about this avyaktam, senses, and avyakta asakta chetasam, because it is, his mind is identifying with the body, he is very strongly identifying with the body, at that time, anything related to avyaktam, it won't make any sense to him. He won't be able to relate with that, right? Because in that state, all what he has got is, he knows Andaryami is inside, which is avyaktam, and there is an attachment there, but it is only in a bhavana, in his imaginary stage for him. You see? That Andaryami's position for him is just an imagination only in his mind. Yeah? Because his mind has not gone there yet. Mind is still very much in the world outside. And he has not had proper Shravanam, proper Mananam, and did not have any proper Guru for him to guide in the spiritual path, right? So, in that situation, if he has just read a few books, and he read that there is Brahman, which is avyaktam, right, nirgunam, if you say all these things to him, it will be very difficult for him to relate with that. Yeah. And that is what Lord, this is an important point, you know why? Brahmastuti, if you look, the same thing Lord Brahma said. Klishyandiya kevala bodhalabdhaye, he says. This process is difficult. The reason for that is identification with the body. When we are identifying with the body, this process is going to be difficult. So, means Bhagavatam says he will struggle very hard. He will struggle very hard, right? He won't get it. He won't understand anything. And it's a very dry field for him. And he will get stuck there. He'll get stuck there, right? And some people get stuck there in the sense that he will get attached to that, and but at the same in this avyaktam, right? And then when what happened, there is no fun there. Fun means the fun what you get in the normal bhakti process, where there is that person will have more taste for bhakti, bhakti margam, right? And more happiness also. You can see that in the devotees. Once you get attached to this worship of a form, and rather than Andaryami, in that level, right, the happiness that they get, they take the mridanga, go outside, say Gauranga, say, to the devotees, isn't it? There's some pleasure in all that, doing it. He doesn't have all that. Who? One who is with the avyaktam. He doesn't have any such thing. And then coming home after a good program like that, having a good prasadam, and then a big kirtan mela, all these things, this is only in the bhakti. Bhakti sadhana it is. So he won't have, the other person hasn't got any of these things. One who is going after the avyaktam inside, right? So, he may not even have the happiness of a person who goes to the temple and sees the deity and coming back. You get a little happiness from that, isn't it? When you see the deities, you offer obeisances and few minutes had a darshanam and come back. Even that satisfaction what you get, he won't get that. That person. Which one? This klesho adhigadara stesha. Avyakta asakta chedasam. So, and he won't feel, because he doesn't feel any satisfaction in that. This is a subject which has to be thought through quite a bit, right? And that avyaktam, this avyaktam, which is antaryami upasana, right? That won't happen easily. He's saying here that avyaktam yasmadhyagati aksharatmiya dukkham. He will find struggle with it, right? Sa dehavadbi dehabhimanavadbi avapyade adha kleshaha adhigatara aksharopasaganam yad vartanam tad ubarishtad, right? Those who think the body is the self, they are the people, right? Body is the self. And they will find it very difficult. So to some extent, you have to be free from the bodily identity to engage in the antaryami upasana. And then he says, akshara brahmam. Their case, we will talk about it later. So, the thing is this, that a first-class guru, for example, and a first-class disciple, means disciple has got all the qualifications for a proper disciple, and the guru is also well-knowledgeable, realized soul. When he goes to him, knowledge will come from that. Realization will come from that. He has to realize the truth. As Krishna says in the Bhagavadam, in the 10th chapter, you remember, that if with these qualifications, if a disciple goes to a guru with this qualification, the fire will be there. The fire of knowledge will be there, he said. Same thing, right? So that means, in order that to happen, we have to have inside a lot of things to open up. In our nervous system, you have to look at in every side. Means, yogis follow one route, jnanis follows another route, devotees follow another route. All want self-realization at the end. Is it not? And from yoga margam, when you look at it, the problems are our nervous system, and different places it's blocked completely. Right? They're clogged actually, and they have to open up, right? And that is why, because they are blocked or clogged, when we say Atma, Brahmam and all, it's not making any sense. Because it's all blocked up inside, right? And we don't get an understanding what that means, right? Whereas if you tell him laddu, jalebi, chapati and all, it all makes sense. See the difference, right? Atma, Brahmam, spiritual knowledge, Maya, self-realization and all not making any sense. So, whereas laddu, jalebi, chapati, everything makes sense. Right? So, in the same way, Chaitanyam or Bodham, awareness inside, Chit Shakti, is all not making any sense at this stage. Right? Because all these things are clogged inside the nadis. You remember, Karna Nadi from the ear to the heart. Vidura said this to Maitreya. Karna Nadim Chinati, it says. It has to open up. Spiritual knowledge is not flowing inside. It's all going in, going out. That shouldn't happen. Yeah. So that is what he is saying here, that there is 108 nadis, yogis say this, Patanjali says, 108 nadis in the body, and which are transmitting different messages, spiritual messages, right? So, you can see this in ourselves. Suppose we have sat here for a few hours, right? And then you're all hungry. And when you leave, the water will come in the mouth, ready for the prasadam. Is it not? Where did that happen? How did that happen? Because these nadis inside, they convey all these feelings, emotions, thoughts, everything through these nadis, right? And they are all connected to each other. When the time we have finished the class and then you feel that now you are going home, prasadam will be ready there, and that prasadam, thought of that prasadam will bring the water into the mouth. If there is good prasadam at home, I'm saying. Right? Similarly, they are all connected to each other. The body is working like that. Our thoughts, our emotions, our bhavana mandalam, everything is linked to this body. Prana also, right? So, when a good disciple hears this message of the soul from a first class guru who has realized the soul, and that opens up certain nadis inside, in the body, right? And he will experience that within himself, right? And there are certain nadis inside and they will open up. And that nadi, sometimes you can see that in satsangam also, sometimes it opens, little bit, right? And you will see that in people, how that is opening up or not. In some people it never opens, and they find it very difficult. So, and you will see, observe that in people's response, that is not opening inside, that nadi which is carrying that Shraddha inside, right? So, when people are doing sadhana at the highest level, uttama sadhagas, right? If you observe them, they would be very tired in life. Probably they have got all problems in life, right? But when they come to satsangam, they become very lively. In life, they have got a lot of problems, a lot of suffering they are going through in life. But when they come to satsangam, they become very lively. Suddenly they become, from nowhere energy comes to them. Right? So, why is it that? Because this is opening up inside, this nadi inside. Right? And so, even though their body is tired, when they get the message of Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita, they get energized and the body adjusts itself to the situation. Even though the body has got problems and the body is tired. But still, because the bhava mandalam is getting stronger, sharira mandalam becomes adjusting to the body, a mind, adjusting the mind. Right? So, what yogis talk about that, all that symptoms will come even during shravanam. Proper shravanam happens, even at that time this can happen, right? And while you listening to itself, its effect on you is visible, can be visible, right? So, when all the nadis are open, and if you have the shravanam in that state, this force will travel all through the body, right? But to that extent, it has to get cleaned up inside. The system has to get cleaned up, right? Cleaning up means purification. If the purification comes, then it will go very quickly inside. It's only because the purification is not there. That is why the message is not having any effect inside. And as Krishna said this, right? Arjuna, he says to Arjuna, getting attached to avyaktam. He is saying to Arjuna, avyaktahi gadur dukkham deha vadbhi ravapyade. If you study that two lines well, you will see what Krishna is trying to say. He is saying to us that if you want to get attached to that avyaktam, you have to transcend the body. Dehavadbhiravapyade. Dehavadbhir means who are identifying with the body, right? So, this body identification, about 80-90%, if you are identifying with it, right? In that state, if you hear about the soul, nothing will happen. To 80-90%, if you are identifying with the body, you can see yourself, I can see myself, that how difficult it is, this experience of the soul, existence of the soul, to come into my awareness, right? It won't come as long as I'm grossly absorbed in the body, right? So initially, therefore, the body has to become cleansing. I have to cleaning the body first, right? It's not just cleaning the gross body. That's not what it means, right? Shariram, body becomes clean through karma, karma yoga for that. Cleaning the body process is the karma yoga process, right? So, that is why he began with that karma yoga in the beginning of the third chapter itself. Karma yoga. Because, first of all, this body is an obstacle itself. And that body is causes karma. Body causes karma. So, using karma, how to clean up the body is karma yoga. Is karma yoga. So, these are things, what we are discussing now, these are things which has come after that, after all that, right? So, basically this Bhakti Yoga Adhyayam is Upasana Adhyayam it is. It's for Upasana purposes, right? Upasana means sadhana basically, right? Spiritual practices, what we say. So, these four things we talked about, Shastram, Guru, Anubhuti, and all the impact of that, right? And the fourth one, the maturity of the devotee, maturity of the student, right? And the same thing in Bhagavatam also, you will see when Krishna gives initiation to Brahma, if you look at the second canto, in the ninth chapter, he mentions this, that how important it is to have that purification. Sri Bhagavan Vacha 2.9.30. Before he gives the initiation, initiation is the Chadushlogi. This is also not much different than our system. Only here Krishna is initiating Brahma. This is Krishna's initiation of Brahma, this Chadushlogi Bhagavatam. You have to see it like that. Not that something happened somewhere. No, our initiation is a reflection of this. What Krishna is saying to Arjuna, right? So you see what how his initiation begins? Jnanam paramaguhyam me yad vijnana samanyutam sa rahasyam tadangam cha grihana gadidam maya. What does it mean? It means that I'll give you the knowledge which is very confidential with vijnanam, jnanam and vijnanam, both knowledge and the realization, but it is very sa rahasyam and with all the other things associated with that. Tadangam cha grihana gadidam maya, he is saying like that. Yeah? Why is this Krishna says like that? Because that is how Krishna's initiation of Brahma. He's saying to Brahma, all the things together, right? Jnanam, Vijnanam, Rahasyam, Angam. Four things together he is giving. Jnanam, Vijnanam, Rahasyam, Angam. So, what we have to understand there is that there are certain things in spiritual life which are not logical. Our mind is attached to logical things, isn't it? Everything, we like to be logical, right? One person said to, this is in the talks with Ramana Maharshi, he says this, right? He said to him that doing the circumambulation of this hill, I don't have much faith in all this. Sometimes people say like that. I don't have faith in rituals, they say. I don't have faith in this chanting. I don't have faith in this doing different pilgrimage and all that. So Maharshi told him, do you believe in me? Have you got faith in me? He said. He said, yes, I have got faith in you. Then Maharshi told him, then you go. Go and do the parikrama and come back, he said. You don't have faith in the hill, but have you got faith in me? He said, yes. Then you go and do that, he said. Right? Then when he came back, he asked him, what do you feel? How do you feel now? He said. So he said that there is this Nirdhi Lingam. There are so many lingams all around Arunachala Hill. So there's Yama Lingam, Agni Lingam, Vayu Lingam, all the different lingams are there. So there is Nirdhi Lingam. When he crossed that, he says that I was not feeling much attachment to the body at that time. He said, Sharira Pratya has gone. And why did that happen? Nobody knows. You can't analyze this from science. Scientifically, you can't explain all these things, right? So, normally people say we can connect the science with spiritual life, right? It will not join together. This is a fact of life. Somehow or the other, some devotees think like that. We can explain Bhagavatam in a scientific way. You can't explain Bhagavatam in the scientific way. How will you explain Bhagavatam in the scientific way? Right? So, science is below intelligence. Intelligence is the highest level of science. Right? Spiritual life is above intelligence. Science is all controlled by intelligence only. Right? That is why Krishna said, Yo buddhe paratastusa indriyani pararahu indriyebhya parammana manasastu parabuddhi yo buddhe paratastusa. Science of soul, adhyatma vidya, spiritual knowledge is above buddhi. First we have to recognize that. That's why whatever Krishna has spoken in the Bhagavad Gita, a lot of things, it is difficult to comprehend with that for an ordinary person. Because when he reads that, he is coming with his intelligence full blast, trying to understand Bhagavad Gita with his intelligence. And what happens? Straight away Krishna is saying in the second chapter itself, Indriyani pararaho, indriyebhya parammana, manasastu parabuddhi. Senses are higher than the sense objects. Mind is higher than the senses. Buddhi is higher than the mind. Arjuna, soul is above the buddhi even. If you have accepted that, there is no necessity to go to science to find out what Krishna consciousness is. You are going to science because your faith is in only science, not in the Shastra. That is why it's happening. A lot of devotees are trapped in that. They are still trying to find a compromise between science, because what they are thinking is, they are preaching into the world outside. And people are asking all sorts of questions about our script Shastra. And they are not able to answer that, because the people who are asking questions, they want an answer compatible with their science. Only then they can accept it. Whereas Krishna has already said that, Yo buddhe paratastusa. Spiritual knowledge is above all these things. Don't bring that down into this level. It won't work. Simply won't work, right? So, so buddhi has its level, in one level, right? And logic, science, reasoning and all that is in the buddhi's level, right? So that is why Krishna said, Yo buddhe paratastusa. So, upasana mandalam. Many things what you do in upasana mandalam, there is no logic in that. Like you get logic in the field of science. This is the difficulty. So that is why some people say, it's not make any sense going around this hill so many times. How is it going to help my spiritual life? It's not making any sense, they will say. Similarly, chanting the holy name, 108, some people chant so many rounds, isn't it? 62 rounds and 30, even 16. We are battling with 16. But what I'm saying is that to get that understanding that this chanting is about that intelligence activity, that itself takes a lot of time. It doesn't come first day or months together or years together. If you chant, still intelligence will come and put the spanner in between, right? So, but even those who are arguing like that, everything they want logic and reasoning, even such people, after some time, they'll become first-class devotees and they'll start chanting because they will realize there's so many like that. Initially, they will say all these big, big things with their intelligence and their logic and reasoning and all, yuktivadam, everything. Initially, finally, they realize that they're limited. They also cannot go beyond than that, right? So they will start chanting. And there are many people like that, right? And so there are so many persons I can mention their names, but if you go back into their history, and these are the type of people who have become extraordinarily good in spiritual life later. They came from such an atheistic nature. Initially, there was one Brahmana in Guruvayur, Anyam, his history, if you read, it is so shocking. He was a down-to-earth communist, he was. Yeah. He never believed in the... He came, and it so happened in their family, one of his uncles happened to be the head pujari there. So this person went into this communism business and became so atheistic, never believed in anything. He considered all this temple worship, everything bogus. Never had any faith in the deity. Never had faith in the Bhagavatam, Shastram, nothing. And he was wandering around in his family life without much purpose in life. So this uncle, who was the head pujari there, he told him, you come and stay with me. Anyway, you're not doing anything. You're just wasting your time. So you may as well come and stay with me at the temple, he said. So he stayed there with him. And you know how he stayed there? He had his own place to stay. And he won't go and see the deity, even though he was staying in the temple. Temple had an extension there. But he won't go in to see the deity. He will never participate in anything what was happening there. The only thing was, his uncle was the head pujari. His prasadam was brought from the temple, which was offered to Krishna, right? That prasadam he will share with him, because he is from his family, staying with him. So they will eat together the prasadam. This is how he stayed. And this person had severe pain in his stomach. Right, when he came, he was a communist, and yet still refuting everything, and he was suffering from severe pain in the stomach. After staying with him and after taking this prasadam for some time, his stomach pain is gone completely. That made him to change his thinking completely. He started thinking that there is something more to it than what he thought it is. Now, how will you explain this through logic? What logic explanation can you give for that? That is bhakti. That is how Krishna works in this world. You can't bring Krishna into our science and logic and reasoning and all that. Nothing will work. Krishna has his own way of doing things. Right? So, and then he got some interest in the bhakti tradition, and later on he became a first class devotee. He took the Srimad Bhagavatam seriously, chanting the holy name he propagated heavily. And when he left the body, he left his body in Coimbatore. But before he left, he went to Krishna in front and offered obeisances to him. And he said, you have to take care of me, I'm going now. And he said, and everyone was crying in the temple at that time, seeing his departure from there. And then he went to Ayurveda pharmacy in Coimbatore, and that's where he left his body. Right? So I'm saying that when you see such things in people's life, your faith in the science goes away. Your faith in the Shastram gets better. When you see such incidents. It's all recorded. It's in the books as well. All this is written by devotees who have associated with him very closely and saw the change that has happened in him. The same person who was preaching communism once has once for all said goodbye to communism. Not only that, he became so popular in Srimad Bhagavatam that everyone loved listening to him from Bhagavatam, especially Ajamila story and all. His faith in the holy name became so strong that he could speak hours and hours about Ajamila story.
And people still remember that, how he spoke about Ajamala. So what I'm saying is that the this our so-called intelligence and our faith in all this mundane knowledge is all very limited. It is easy to shake that. And it can be shaken easily. And so there is no room for... But this can only happen if Krishna's mercy comes. That's what changes everything, right? So, and that faith has to come inside. And that faith is pranam inside us, right? Life air of the soul, as they call it, right? Shraddha, Vishwasam, everything. So, the Shraddha Shakti, when it wakes up inside, Krishna calls that as bhakti. When that Shraddha Shakti increases, that is bhakti. Right? Shraddhaya parayo vedas teme yukta tamo mata. You remember that verse he mentioned there? Shraddhaya parayo vedas teme yukta tamo mata. In the second verse. Yeah. He's saying, if Shraddha has come in a person, bhakti is there. It will come automatically, he says. You don't have to work for that. Provided the Shraddha comes. The Shraddha is not there, that's our problem. Somehow or the other, Krishna has not given us that sufficient Shraddha inside. Right? So, and there are examples in the Shastram for that. You see, in the morning, before the sun rises, how the birds make the noise. They know it, that sun is coming. Sun has not come yet. But already when that time comes, closer to that, if it is in India, say about 4 or 5 o'clock, you'll start these birds making noises. And you start wondering, why are they making noises now? Whole night they were quiet. They were sleeping. And about 5 o'clock in the morning, it's not bright yet, sun hasn't come, this noise comes. It is similar to that. Yeah, they know that it is coming. Sun is coming, right? So, and how did they get to know that? They don't have a watch or anything like we have got, isn't it? Because they can feel the light. They can feel it. Light you can't feel, isn't it? Normally you see the light. But they can feel the light, right? Before the light comes, they can feel it's coming. The light coming, right? Bhakti is like that. Bhakti is like that. This is why this chapter is very interesting in that sense. So many misconceptions we have about bhakti. We are thinking bhakti is doing a lot of things. But that is not how bhakti develops in the heart. How the manomandalam changes and what in fact impact it is having in the manomandalam. When you start seeing that, that is when bhakti, Krishna says there, that this bhakti's nature is like that, right? And before self-realization happens, you will know this, how bhakti is going. Bhakti is an indication to that. Strong indication that self-realization is going to come very soon. And the indication of that is this Shraddha. Shraddha Shakti. When Shraddha gets stronger, this bhakti will develop. And when bhakti gets stronger, you can practically be sure that self-realization is on its way, going to happen, right? So, at that time you will observe, when the Shraddha comes stronger, you will see your faith in the Shastram and acceptance of the Shastram. Everything becomes very serious then. You'll become very serious about it, you know. You won't be able to make any compromise there. No excuses after that. Because that's how that Shraddha grows inside. Right? And if you, at that stage, if you bring logic into it, nothing will, you cannot explain anything through logic. It just happens in a person. Right? So, ultimately what will happen at that time is, you will start realizing that this logic and reasoning is not everything. Logic and reasoning is in one level only. Right? So, logic itself has no logic. You will come to that understanding. And that is what Acharya Swamiji says here. He says, logic itself has no logic. Right? So, that is how what he is saying here. Also, that Vipralambhagatvam means it is a pit you are stuck with. You have fallen into that pit. And you have to come out of that pit, called the logic. You see? That is when you come out, unless you come out of it, you can't go further. If you have fallen into the pit, it's a pit that's dug in your spiritual life somewhere, people go and fall into that, right? Actually, it is the deceptive power of the brain, right? So, then if you ask the question, should I use the logic or not? Yes, you have to use the logic, right? But they have put some boundaries for that. Up to where you have to stop the logic business. That's how the rishis have done that. They know all these things. So not they're not knowing all. They've also gone through the same path, is it not? So knowing that very well, what they have said to us is that they put some boundaries and said, just like when you have certain rules in the country, you follow those rules, you stay within those rules, right? Shruti anugrihita tarkam, they say. That rishis are saying to us that within the blessings of the rishis and the instructions of the Vedam, without questioning them, within that boundary you can have logic. You can use some logic. Certain things are allowed. Some questioning is allowed, right? Reasoning, for example. That means three things. Shruti, Yukti, Anubhav. Yukti has got its own the acceptance. And your own personal experience, Anubhav. And then the Shastram, Shruti, Vedam. Right? So, Krishna is saying that this reasoning power, right, from inside, up to a certain limit, but you can't cross that boundary. If you go out of the boundary and start questioning everything in the Shastram, how can that make sense? This doesn't make sense. If you start like that, that means you are challenging Shastram itself. That's not allowed. That's not allowed, right? So, so when one has come to that state, Krishna says, and Shraddha has come to him properly, right? And they are the one who are fortunate, who have come to this level of understanding, right? So, you look at people in this world, in Salsangam also, people are all different, is it not? Everybody is different, right? In some people, the Shraddha Shakti has woken up more than others. It's normal. Everybody is not equal. Shraddha Shakti has increased in some people, right? And for them, they don't have to struggle very much. And in a very, without a lot of effort, they will start realizing things in a deeper level, right? Just like before sunrise, I don't know the name it's called, right? This Shraddha Shakti inside, what is already woken up, that will do everything for them, the rest of the things, right? Actually, this Shraddha Shakti waking up, it's called Krishna's mercy, Kripa. Kripa it's called. Because it has to come from Antaryami inside. Right. So, this Shraddha, Bhakti, Shastram, similarly Guruvakyam and Shraddha, all these are not blind faith. They are not blind faith, right? In strictly speaking, every faith is a blind only, ultimately, right? For example, I give you an example for that, right? I go to college or university or school and I studied that water. What I knew water was what I see from the tap and the well and all that. They told me that it is H2 plus O is water. I have not seen H2, I have not seen O either. But I was told H2 and O is the water. Till now I have not understood that. For me water is water, H2 and O I have not seen, they are living somewhere, whatever it is, right? So but I believe it now. That's blind faith, is it not? I have not seen H2 or O. You may say, oh, I can show that to you in the laboratory and all. But in my astral living state,
All I am seeing is the water. And you are telling me it is H2NO. Okay, if it is H2NO, fine with me. That's H2NO, I accepted that. Right? So I have accepted that in that basis. In the same way, Shastram also. There are many things in the Shastram. Shastram will say certain things. We may not have seen it, we may not have understood it. And then you start saying that it is not possible to believe what Shastram is saying. How can it be right? And things like that, right? So, when we hear that, we will destroy our own spiritual life in that way. And you may ask that, maybe they are saying this due to their some selfish reasons. We will start interpreting it that way, right? So, if you get to know this, that they are not saying this out of their selfishness, but there is a science behind that. And if you are able to know it that way, then what will happen is, the Satyika Shraddha wakes up. That's the proof of that. Remember, Krishna said this in the Bhagavadam, that only when Sattvagunam is there, knowledge will work. Is it not? Satyika Adhyalpiki Shraddha Karma Shraddha Ti Rajasi. He mentioned that, right? So, when our mind is Rajasam, our Shraddha will be in Karmam only, and our faith also will be in Karmam only. Adhyatmam, when it comes to, we have to come to Sattvagunam. Only in Sattvagunam, Shraddha will come to Adhyatmam. Sattvika Adhyatmiki Shraddha. And similarly, in other places also he has said that. It's not Bhagavad Gita also he says there. So, the proper Shraddha is in that way that Parashraddha they call it, which is in the Satyagam mode. Satyagam mode, right? And all incarnations, what we consider worshipable, they are all like this, right? Krishna's appearance is not only the incarnations that is mentioned in the Puranams, right? Krishna's appearance, in all of us, Krishna appears sometimes in different ways, right? For example, from yogi's point of view, if you look at it, right? Sometimes yogis get some sudden realizations who are following the Ashtanga Yoga process, right? Bhakti is an avataram, it is. Bhakti also is an avataram inside, right? When Shraddha becomes very high inside, Bhakti avadaram, Bhakti comes, develops in the heart automatically, right? And that is why in the Devi Mahatmam it says, Ya Devi Sarvabhudesho Shraddharubena Samsthita. There is one verse there. Shraddharubena Samsthita. In the form of that Shraddha, she comes. Bhakti Devi comes like that, right? So, that Shraddha is her form. That is from the Devi Bhagavadam. Ya Devi Sarvabhudeshu Shraddharubena Samsthita. So many things mentioned there. Nidra Rubena Samsthita. So many things like that, right? So, all these things are happening due to that awakening inside of the Devi. Devi inside, right? And in there is a story about Vivekananda that our Paramahamsa, Ramakrishna Paramahamsa, he saw this in him. That Shraddha was very high in that him, right? And so therefore when he saw him, Ramakrishna had the capacity, Paramahamsa had the capacity to go into such subtle levels to see the person's awakening inside. In Narendra he was called then. How that Shraddha has woken up inside, right? And Paramahamsa offered flowers on him and worshipped him in the beginning. Vivekananda became later, but that early days itself, Paramahamsa was able to observe this in him, right? And Narendranath was his name. He said to Ramakrishna Paramahamsa that, I am just a Kayastha, what are you doing? Kayastha is the community in Bengal that time, right? So, Paramahamsa told him, don't worry about it, he said, that I am not worshipping you, the person, whom you are considering, right? But there is a waking up inside of the Antaryami inside, right? And that waking up is the one in Shruti Gita you talk about. Jaya Jaya Yad Jahega Jangamam, the first verse itself. Dosha Grihita Guna. So when a good guru, a first class guru, when you see a first class disciple like that, that Shraddha Shakti in the disciple has woken up and he was able to notice that, right? And he was saying that let that Shraddha Shakti wake up further, grow up inside, right? So, and remove, that is that verse is also saying, wake up inside and remove that avidya from inside, right? So, he won't be able to do it himself. And guru also sometimes find it difficult on his own. That is when he asks the Antaryami to do it, to remove the avidya from inside. Guru and Antaryami are one and the same. So, normally from Guru's Mahavakyam, the disciple is supposed to become free from the avidya. When sometimes it doesn't happen due to some reason, what the Guru does is, he prays to the Antaryami inside the disciple to remove the avidya from him. And he gets removed. Right? So, and that verse, if you study well, for the first verse, Jaya Jaya Ajita Jayaga Jangamam, that verse, beginning with that, you will see the explanation to that Sridhar Swami given that in that way. Right? The Sattogunam, Rajogunam, Tamogunam, that is Maya, right? And remove that veil from inside and win over Maya, right? And give the realization to this Jiva, Anubhuti, right? So, in this way, a guru prays to the Antaryami to help the disciple to remove that avidya from inside. Because Maya has put this into us. Which one? Bodily identity. Took us out from the spiritual identity and pushed into material identity. Right? So, and when this realization comes of Antaryami inside doing this, right? At that time the guru worships at Antaryami and the disciple gets that Anubhuti realization permanently, right? So, and that will not go after that, right? Sri Shuka Brahmarshi did the same thing to Parikshit in the Bhagavatam, right? He says there that nobody wants to know about the truth, Antaryami inside, and no one asks for him to get to know the Antaryami. Means self-realization. Nobody is asking for that. So that is why in the first chapter in the 10th canto, when Shuka Brahmarshi glorified Parikshit, right? When Shuka Brahmarshi glorified Parikshit, what did he say to him? He said that verse, right? He says to him that Suta Uvacha, 14th verse, 10.1.14, Evam Nishamya Bhrigunandana Saduvadam Vayasagisa Bhagavan Adha Vishnuratam Pratyarcha Krishna Charidam Kaligalmashagnam Vyahartam Arabhada Bhagavada Pradhanaha. Evam Nishamya Bhrigunandana Saduvadam Vayasagisa Bhagavanatha Vishnuratam Pratyarcha Krishna Charidam Kaligalmashagnam Vyahartam Arabhada Bhagavada Pradhanaha. Pratyarcha Krishna Charidam. And Shuka Brahmarshi is of worship to Shuka Parikshit at that moment. Right? Because he asked this question, what Parikshit asked. Nobody asked that question to him before, he said. So he offered worship to him because Shuka Brahmarshi noticed that the Shraddha in Parikshit has woken up. That was it. What impressed Shuka Brahmarshi was Why was he so fired up to speak Bhagavatam to him? Because he noticed that here is a person in who really wants to realize the truth. When he met Parikshit, that's what his qualification was. Parikshit's qualification was that he wanted to realize Krishna then and there. He says, I've got only 7 days time left. Help me to realize it, he said. And Shukha Brahmarshi, seeing his enthusiasm of Parikshit, he spoke that, right? So, when great personalities, when they get disciples like that, they feel very fired up. They're very, very enlivened, right? And otherwise, mandabuddhis, mandasya mandapratnyasya. We will be battling with Bhagavatam for the rest of the life. Because this Shraddha has not come. So therefore we will be memorizing verses, preaching and doing a bit of this and bit of that, prasadam, chanting. Like this, this will go on like this for the rest of the life. Right? Mandasya mandapratnyasya vayo mandayushascha vai. Nidraya kriyade nattam divaja vyarthakarmavi. How perfect it is, isn't it, spoken? And Sri Shukha Brahmarshi didn't work for any corporation in his life. But he is able to tell about us so precisely what we do. He was not a householder as far as Bhagavatam is concerned. Nor did he work or do anything else outside. But I have never seen anyone who is so familiar with householder life. Who is able to say about householder life so effectively and say to us, and he called us, isn't it, Dehavatra Kalatra Alpasainyam. This Alpasainyam and us together, how life goes on. He has seen through us very well. Right? So, so that's what he's saying here. that happiness what he felt when he got Parikshit as a disciple. There's no point in having 50,000 disciples, all dull-headed ones. Useless ones. Rather, have to have one who has some seriousness in spiritual life. Right? This is not democracy, you know. Spiritual life is not democracy. Based on the voting pattern and maximum votes you get and you win. That's not how it is, right? Here what matters is the quality of the person. And this is why if you read, Prabhupada mentions in the, it is in the Upanishad, that same statement, he put it in the introduction in the Bhagavad Gita, saying that one moon in the sky is better than the thousands of stars, he said. Or he said, one devotee, if he realizes Krishna properly, that is the success of this moment, he says. Rather than having 190 countries, 93 countries, and thousands of centers. More than that, the success of this movement, he said, if one devotee realizes Krishna. That is how rishis see the things. Rishis don't go with the numbers. Numbers don't impress them. They say, if one person take advantage of Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam and realize the truth, they have got the benefit for that. That is a success. The success is measured like that. Not in terms of the numbers. This number business is a modern thing. What we have, because we think in the House of Commons, two parties are there, and if because Labour has got so much majority now, whatever, right or wrong, whatever they do is a right now. It has come like that, isn't it? So that mindset, I'm saying, that won't work in spiritual life. Spiritual life is not numbers. Spiritual life is that one person, Prabhupada said, who had realized Krishna, who what Krishna is, right? So, and so, this appearance, like Parikshit's case now, for example, you can see here that from birth itself it has been there. At the time of birth itself, he has seen Krishna inside. It has never left him, that memory. And that is coming back at the time of death also. And he wanted to, when the Brahmana boys cursed him, Sringi cursed him, he was able to take it because of that. He knew that Krishna is the reality, Krishna is inside. And he wanted to leave this world with that realization. And that's what you'll find there. So we'll continue with this next Wednesday. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.
Yeah.